B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Yeah. Lurch Stevens. Mike Missinelli. Mike. 97.5. We live. It's like coming to you live from City Line. You know the time. 2-6. Mikey Miss. 97.5. No matter where you at, tune into the show. I'm telling you, television, telephone, radio, let's go. He got the city on lock, and it ain't a question. Been on top a long time, and he's still flexing. Came a long way from the barrel that raised him, but never forgot where he came from. Cause he taking your calls, talking about y'all, talking about life, man, he talk about it all. Smooth on the mic like a fadeaway from Jordan. He turned into a beast when that lightsaber caught him. Top shelf A1 guest around the globe. Best interviews and topics you didn't know. Sparring with callers back and forth like a Google chat. His resume speaks for itself, yeah, you can Google that. There he is, it's the man you've been waiting for. The sports talk off the Fonzarelli, Mike Missinelli. Yeah. Mike Missinelli.
Good afternoon, everybody. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli here on the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. A lot to get to. The phone number to participate, as always, 610-632-0975. Connor in my spot. Natalie in her normal spot, and there's a lot to get to. But we start like we always start when I'm sitting here, and that's what the word of the day. And the word of the day this week is future. The word of the day is future, and like every other day, it will all make sense in just a moment. So, sports talk radio in general, in this medium, people react. Things happen, we react to it. Things happen, we react to it. Or people say things, and we react to what people say. But today, we're going to flip the script just a little bit. We're all going to have to predict the future. Every single person, myself, Booney, Connor, Natalie, every caller, Brian Westbrook at 4 o'clock, everybody's going to have to predict the future today in different ways. In different ways, we're going to have to predict the future because this is not a reaction day. This is a day where we project. This is a day to project. Now, the Sixers, for example, they play the Clippers tonight. There's a good reason to believe that the Clippers, last year the Clippers were the best team in the NBA. They didn't win, so the Lakers ended up being the champions, but there was no reason last year that the Clippers should not have won the title last year because they were the best team. This year, they seem to be playing better. They're once again contenders. They're in the house playing the Sixers tonight. Is tonight, for example, can you predict tonight that tonight's game would be a NBA Finals preview? Are you ready to project that? Can you predict the future? Also, with the Sixers, in addition to tonight, you can predict the season. And Ben Simmons had a GQ interview in which he thinks that this is the year to win the championship. He thinks that he talked about being double-teamed and his aggression. He talked a lot of things. And Ben Simmons, for whatever reason, is a lightning rod type of player. So I want to hear your predictions on how you think Ben Simmons ends the season. Because there are people out there that believe that the Sixers will get to a certain point and they will lose in the playoffs because of Ben Simmons, not because of some other reason. Like, it could be just that the other team's better. Like, let's say they play the Nets and the big three that they have there are just better than the Sixers players. That wouldn't be losing because of Ben Simmons, but there are many who believe that down the road, the Sixers will indeed lose in the playoffs because of Ben Simmons. Now, I'm not a person who believes that, but that's out there. So I want people to get on the record now. It's very, very easy. And we do this far too often around here where we wait, not really commit to anything, and then get mad at somebody else who does commit to something. No. We're all going out on a limb today. We're not going to do any of that. So Ben Simmons says this is the year. He believes that the Sixers can win a championship this year. He predicted it. He put it out there. And I have no problem with him putting it out there. Obviously, he has to go back it up. But what I'm not going to do is wait for the see how it plays out and then decide, oh, Ben shouldn't have said that. No. We're all going to predict the future today. We're all going to go out on that limb today. And not just with the Sixers. This is not just a Sixers-focused conversation. Not at all. Also, we have the Eagles. The draft is now less than 2 weeks away. Believe it or not. None of us have probably been fully engaged as far as the timing, but we've been paying attention. And there's a new rumor out. Brand new rumor, hot off the presses with the Eagles, that the Eagles plan to be aggressive and move back up into the top 10 while preserving their future first-round picks. So whatever that means about what they trade, that's what they plan to do. So you're also going to have to do some predicting. We're not just, obviously, when they make the picks. We're going to sit here and we're going to break it down. But we're not only going to do that. We're all going out on a limb today. We're going to predict. We're going to look into the future. I got two questions when it comes to Eagles. One, what do you think the Eagles are going to do? Less than 2 weeks from now. The first round is 2 weeks from yesterday. Also, I want predictions on when will the Eagles next be good? Because I don't think this upcoming year will be a good year for the Eagles. But in the NFL, they'll have a bunch of cap space next year. I mean, Howie Roseman will still be picking the players. But I want to hear from the people, the Eagles fans, predict the future. Go out on a limb. Go forward. One, what are they going to do next week, in a couple of weeks? What are they going to do in the draft? And I'm going to talk to Brian about this as well. And when? None of us realistically believe that the 2021 season is going to be a great one for the Eagles. If we're being honest. They're coming off of 4 wins. We don't know what the quarterback is yet. We'll find out. We don't know what Rager is. We don't know about a lot of players. And the players that we do know about are all older players. So we're not predicting big things. So when is it 2022 the year? 2023? 2024? Are we now like the Browns and the Bengals used to be? And we'll never, or the Jets are now? Will we never be good again? Reach into your bag. Go into the future. And predict. Same thing with the Phillies. What's going to happen this weekend? The Flyers, we know this season's unfortunately a bit of a loss. They're back tomorrow in a little daytime matinee action. Hopefully, the Flyers get it back together. Was last year fluky? What I want from people today is to go out on a limb. Don't just wait and react and chastise somebody else's prediction. What people love to do, this is a big thing on social media now that I hate. A person actually says an opinion. Which is what you want, by the way. You don't want people just walking around all giving nothing, all vanilla, not saying anything. Then people try to ambush the person for actually making a prediction. Yes, when you make predictions, you're going to be right sometimes and you're going to be wrong sometimes. It just comes with it. There's nothing wrong with being wrong about a prediction because none of us know for sure. If we did, we'd all be rich. But it's very easy to do that. See, Johnny got it wrong. Jimmy got it wrong. No. What are your predictions? You're going to go out there and predict the future. We're not going to do this all day where we just pick at other people's things. We're going to predict our things. I'm going to answer all these questions. Natalie's going to answer all these questions. Connor's going to answer all these questions. We are going to make a prediction. We're going to reach into the future today for sure. The other thing, in addition to all the future talk and the Ben Simmons talk and where you think he's going to take the Sixers, how far they can go with him, Eagles, all of that is, I mentioned it yesterday, we're going to do it today. Phillies are obviously playing. If you have not been to a game this year, I understand it's been tough, but most people are going to try to get down to the ballpark. It's still the best bargain in the city as far as going to a game. The Eagles are super expensive, obviously. The Flyers are expensive. Sixers aren't cheap. Phillies is still doable for a family of 4 or 5. Doable. Not cheap, but doable. For a lot of people, not everyone. I want to know what your walk-up songs are. I like talking about music. I want to know if you were going up to bat, what your walk-up song will be. Now, before we go to the break, we talk to Connor and we talk to Natalie. We have everybody here's walk-up song. Now, Booney broke a rule. I asked for Booney's walk-up song this morning, and he gave me 5 different songs.
That's a violation.
You know he's thought about this forever.
5 different.
Does he have a rotation? Come on.
So what I did was, from his list, I picked the first one in the list because everyone only gets to pick one. You're in the major leagues. You're having a good time. Hey, Booney goes, what if I'm up 5 times? You get one for the season. Not even for the, not per one per at bat. You get one for the season. Everybody today, all the callers get one. You're getting one. All right. So since I mentioned Boonie, what's Boonie's walk-up song? His one walk-up song. That's actually pretty good.
Watch me. Watch me.
That's pretty good.
I got it. Watch me.
All right, so he goes with Superbad.
It's not bad.
That's a good one. That's a good one. All right. Natalie.
This is my anthem.
Now, Natalie has had this one on lock for a while.
Yeah, remember when I had my Saturday show?
Yes.
This was the intro. Yeah.
Natalie's walk-up song is...
Gotta get to the... There it is.
That's
pretty good.
Have
I
words?
Like that. No.
Just the instrumental.
Oh. No,
instrumental.
That's when they go, who's that girl? That's when I put the bat out.
That's pretty
okay.
good.
Okay, you're doing the point?
Yeah, I'm doing a Ryan Howard point.
Fix the sleeve.
Yep, fix the sleeve. I'm ready to go.
Okay. Connor, what is your walkout song? And now you played college baseball. At least you allegedly did.
I did.
You allegedly played college baseball.
I got the roster picture and everything. I'll show you.
All right. We got that.
Box score.
So what is your walkout song?
It's not bad.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Now, you were talking a little bit of trash before this, before it came in.
Because I always wondered, if you do badly, were you on your own highway to hell? You got to perform, or you were on the highway to hell.
Nah, you're a bad man. You're on the highway to hell. No one wants to come up to the plate against you. I pitched, so it was my walkout while I was pitching. I got a minute 15 of that. And
that's all right.
Yeah.
That's not bad. And mine has been set in stone since it came out, and I've been waiting for a song to come along to surpass it. And nothing has. So go ahead. I like that it go build slow. Because I can walk to the plate real slow. Yeah, flashing light.
Nice.
This has been it for Since it came out, I would ask people to have all the flash photography going.
Oh, yeah.
During our time. I'd really lean into it.
Yeah.
So I want to know from everybody, in addition to all the future talk today, and yes, we are going out of limb. Yes, this is uncomfortable for people. I understand that we're doing something that's a little uncomfortable. We're not just going to see something and just react. What we're going to do is we're actually going to lay, and on the other side, we'll speak on our individual predictions. We're going to predict the future. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to go out on a limb and say, this is what I think's going to happen. And we're not going to worry about if we're wrong or we're right. No. We're going to give our actual feelings. And then, you know what? Hopefully some of us will be wrong because some of us are going to be negative. It's okay to be wrong. We're in the prediction business today on the Mike Missanelli Show. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic,
NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli, 610-632-0975. The word of the day is future. We're all going to predict the future today. And And the 2 o'clock hour is brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job, visit one of Ferguson's counter locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, where I grew up, or Westchester today. Yes, talking about the future, the Sixers play the Clippers tonight. Is that a finals, NBA finals preview? Number one. Eagles draft less than 2 weeks away. What are they going to do? And when will the Eagles next be relevant? We know the Sixers are relevant. Sixers are relevant right now. They're in the mix. They're first in the East. When will the Eagles again be relevant? When will the Flyers again be relevant? Because they have not been relevant for quite a while. And I'm going to say it right now that the Sixers will make the NBA Finals this year. They will beat the Nets in 7 games, and then I will predict the finals once they get to the finals. But they will get, because I'm going to see how healthy they are, how tough of a series was it, what, how easy of a road was it for the other team. They're going to get to the finals this year. The Eagles will be good again in 2025. Howie Roseman will likely have to be gone for the Eagles to get good again. The Phillies, this weekend, they're going to win 2 out of 3. And the Flyers will be good again next year. Let's go to the phones. Jerome in Elkins Park, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, everybody. Good afternoon. I want to start off with saying that I hope I'm wrong. I'm humble enough in the fact that, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60, you can add another log on that, you know, decade for me, that I'm not, you know, going gaga about whether or not they win the championship. My hope is that they play as well as they possibly can. And if they lose to a superior team, so be it. But I feel like this year, with the degree or the number lacking of numbers of the fans, I feel a lot of the pressure is off. So there shouldn't be any kind of excuses for any of the members.
Well, you think they've been losing so far because of pressure?
Well, they were just been thrown together. I mean, they have everything that Maury has done, I'm on board with. Everything that Doc is going to do, I am on board with. But let's face it, the big man throughout the history cannot do everything by himself. He has to have a legitimate Robin. So, you know, that being said, and then I know you heard the interview, Ty, with Battle Station 25. When I say something, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just looking at it, I think, as a lot of people do, as far as what's to be expected. I don't have to like the guy.
Right. So what is your prediction for the Sixers?
I don't see them getting to the finals.
Okay, where do you see them getting to?
Probably the conference type of thing.
So the conference finals and then they lose?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. I just want to know, there is no right or wrong answer. It's really just about having a prediction and having an opinion. Because it's very easy to say, oh, look, this publication said blah, 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 blah. When you yourself don't actually make any of the bold predictions yourself. It's very easy to do that. People who say nothing are never wrong. See, that's the good thing. See, this is the thing that we're trying. That's what we're not doing that today here. You can do that elsewhere. But here, we're going to be the people to actually say things. Because people, you know, the people that are always right, the people that never say anything. If you actually give opinions, if you actually say things, if you actually try to look into the future, word of the day, then there's times where you're going to be right. This time you're going to be wrong, and you hope that you're going to be more right than you are wrong. That's just the truth of the matter. But it's very easy. There is a huge, this huge number of people, and it always bothers me, of people that say nothing, but then want to then criticize those who do say something. So if you think the Sixers are going to lose to the Nets in the conference finals, fine. That is, at least that's a prediction. Connor, you're going to answer the questions now. The Sixers this season, look into the future. How far do they go?
They're going to win the East. I think, and I know you sat there, win the East, and you're going to make your finals prediction once we get there.
Reason for that is there's been so many injuries throughout this year.
Right.
What if one of those major injuries happens on the Western Conference Finals and the Sixers have to go seven with the Nets and whoever the Western Conference team was a sweep?
Right, exactly.
That's the only reason I'm not going out, because this is a different year because of the compacted schedule and the amount of injuries.
Okay. For the sake of just being slightly different, I do think they'll make the finals. I think they lose in the finals. I think they're going to get too beat up against the Nets. I think that's going to be the toughest series for them.
Yeah.
And then when they come out, it's going to be a letdown series once they get to the finals.
Very fair. The Eagles, what are they going to do in the draft coming up? And then when's the next time the Eagles are good? Because we don't think it's going to be 2021.
Yeah, I think they've had their eyes on a certain wide receiver since the beginning of the draft, beginning of the draft prep, rather. They really have put a lot of emphasis on college production, and the most productive college wide receiver this past year won the Heisman, Devontae Smith. I think they moved back because they think he's still going to be there, and that's originally their guy. And I don't think it's the right pick, but I think Howie's so caught up on that production and the chance to get a Heisman wide receiver, they'll get him.
Oh, I think I'd be very happy if they got him. All right, when are they good again?
2023, 2024. This year, they're not good. Yeah, so 2021, they're not good. 2022, they have to figure out the quarterback situation. Either it's going to be the we're deciding Hurts is the guy year, or it's the get somebody else year, and then everything will be settled. The dust settles in 2023. It's going to be the year they're back on their feet.
So you're basically predicting that Howie Roseman is going to be the one to rebuild this.
Unfortunately, he's going to have to be.
Right, and that's why I'm more pessimistic. The Phillies, this weekend, Cardinals at home. How many wins?
Two out of three. I like Eflin. I like they're moving Nola up, so they're throwing Nola instead of going with Anderson. Mm-hmm. I don't trust Matt Moore at all, but I think they get two out of those three. The Cardinals have been hot, but they're not that good of a team, so I think they'll come back down to earth a little bit. And the Phillies are much better at home than they are on the road for whatever reason.
And the Flyers, when are they good again?
You know what? Honestly, I think next year is a huge bounce back year for them.
I agree with
you. You know about the sophomore slump in sports. You see it all the time. They had such a young team last year that they have so many guys in a sophomore slump that the whole team just dropped off. Their talent is so much above where they're playing right now. I gotta
Are you
have
sure
faith.
Of that?
I am. Okay. I am. I'm very sure. We saw it last year. Like that.
They looked good last year.
You can't have like 12 flashes in the pan. Just the numbers don't add up for every one of the guys who was good last year stinking again. They'll have to move some pieces around and figure out the defensemen, but I think they bounce back and they're a playoff team next year.
All right. So you went out there and you said it. You're on the record. I'm on the record. Natalie.
Yes.
The Sixers. What? Predict the future. We're looking into the future today, going out on a limb.
Yeah.
What happens with the Sixers this year?
I think they make it to the finals.
Make it to the finals.
Make it
so
to the
we're
finals.
Unanimous about making it to the finals.
Yes.
Okay. The Eagles, what are they going to do in the draft? And then when are the Eagles next good? Because I think we're unanimous in thinking it's not going to be 2021.
No, I mean, I feel like they're going to take a cornerback. They have to, I think. I think they're probably going to go with that J.C. Horn.
Okay.
That's the guy. That's who I've seen speculated, and I feel like it makes sense, especially
makes sense.
Because he'll probably be there at 12.
That makes a lot of sense, and it is a position of great need.
It's been of great need for, I think, years.
Yes.
And it's been a rotating door, and I don't think that they've found that answer, and we can't keep getting burnt on the outside. Mm-hmm. That's been one of our biggest problems. And but I don't know.
When
I feel
are they
like
good again.
2025.
All right, so that's where I'm
which
at.
Is a really which is
a
yeah.
long time. That's a long time.
That's a long time away, but I have no faith. It's awful. I have no faith in the organization.
Me neither.
Because I say they need a cornerback, but they've needed a cornerback for the last how long?
Yeah, and it doesn't mean they'll pick the right one.
Well, exactly, because the scouts will give them the right one, and then the computer guys will be like, no, you should go with this guy, and then they'll go with that guy.
The calculator says we should go with this other
guy. Yeah.
The calculator's always right.
Yeah.
Can't get it wrong if we use the calculator.
Yeah, no. So I have no faith that they're going to do the right thing. So 2025,
all right.
Which is awful, and it has nothing to do with Hurts either, right? And that's what I kind of feel bad about it, because it's like you want to have faith in him and that he's going to be good, but if he doesn't have anybody to throw to, It's not going to matter.
And he
can't run it himself every play.
And we're not 100% sure how well they'll block for him.
Or the offensive line, who's it even going to be if they can stay healthy?
Yeah,
there's so many issues. So 2025 for the Eagles.
Phillies this weekend. Cardinals at home. Three games.
I wish I felt more optimistic. I'm going to say 1 out of 3.
All right, 1 out of 3.
Yeah.
And the Flyers,
I think they'll win tonight.
Okay, and then lose Saturday. Ooh, that's tough. I'll be there tomorrow afternoon. There's a 4 o'clock game tomorrow. And then Flyers. When are the Flyers good again?
I agree with Connor. I feel like next year.
Yeah.
I don't... As bad as this collapse has been...
It's been bad.
For whatever reason, I'm not as... worried about the team because I think the offseason they're going to do what they need to do.
I hope they will.
Well, I'm just wondering. I'm wondering about G's future and what Giroux's going to do.
Well, he's not waving that no movement clause unless
it's the right
family,
deal.
I think it'd be about the family.
Well, that too. I mean, he's so comfortable here and his wife's right. here and his
That's
baby and
saying.
All that stuff.
Does the misses and it's not, I'm not saying this is a bad thing,
right?
But does the misses want to move?
Probably not.
Yeah,
but
no,
if it's the right
you?
Deal,
right? But what do you mean? His money's the same regardless,
And no one's going to give him more this late in his
The money remains the same.
He might as well hang out.
The question is, do I go move to another city? And if I'm her, she can only want to go someplace warm.
Yeah.
So how many warm weather teams? Because I'm not going to
Tampa.
You don't want to go to Winnipeg?
I'm not going to Colorado. I'm not going to anywhere in the
world.
Minnesota.
How many of those warm weather teams want Giroux?
I've always said that the Lightning and the Flyers have some sort of like exchange program.
Yeah, but that's a lot of money.
I know.
Lightning have been tight on the cap.
I know. Well, and it hasn't kind of been that way for years. But and also, as long as I think whatever the summer, Carter Hart needs to buckle down and work out whatever kinks he's dealing with.
I think that's going to take care of itself. He's the one I am least worried about. I'm most worried about the. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's still headed to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
I truly believe that.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it'll be nice to have like a reset because I think once he hit that slump, he kind of couldn't recover, and I think that's part of the issue.
It could be 610-632-0975. Yes. So today we are going to reach into the future. In fact, I think we have some music to mark the occasion. Being that it's a future, we might as well play future.
Nice.
Future. Yes, go out on a limb. Don't wait and say, see, what you did was Tyrone said, Nelly said, da-da-da. How about you say something? How about other people say something? That's what we're doing today. We're looking into the future. And Ben Simmons says in a GQ interview that he believes this is the year. And I like that he said that. There'll be others, I'm sure, we'll hear from him today. Oh, he should be quiet, blah, blah, blah. I don't care what you say. You have to then go back it up. But I like that a player is going out on a limb and actually saying things. I like when people say things. I like people that say things ahead of time. It's very easy, very boring, and very, very lazy to wait and then say, see, I knew all along about the Sixers. See, when other people were saying the finals, I knew they were going to win. No, say it now. What's it, April 16th? Say it now. Go on the record today. Brandon in Bloomsburg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How's it going, guys?
What's going on, Brandon?
I want to talk about the Sixers' future. I love that Ben Simmons is saying it now. I love that that gives him and the team some motivation. I think that as long as this team stays healthy and our bench keeps coming off well, I think that Tobias is a huge role player. This team's going to do it.
So you truly believe you're all in on the Sixers this year?
This year, yeah. This year, they are winning it. As long as they stay healthy.
Well, that's part of the prediction. Do you believe they're going to be able to stay healthy? Because we're only 100%. A few weeks away, about a month away from the playoffs.
As long as we stay healthy these last 2 months, no team has beaten us.
No team. So the Nets, you're not worried about the Nets?
I think that the Nets' big three is not comparing to our starting five.
I mean, Joe Harris can shoot the three. I hear you. I just want to make sure, Brandon, and I'm glad that you're making a prediction. I am. Are you giving the Nets their proper, or the Bucks perhaps their proper respect? It almost makes it sound like you think it's going to be easy.
Oh, absolutely not. They're both insanely good teams. What they did over the offseason, making different trades and acquiring different players was very well. They're definitely contenders, and they're definitely going to give us a hard time in the playoffs. But I do think that we're going to come out on top.
All right, Brandon. I appreciate it. He has the Sixers going all the way and not even sweating about it. Now, we do have to understand that I think there will be challenges along the way. It's not going to be easy. Very few championships, unless you're Moses with the 4-4-4 and you go 4-5-4 and you just, that's easy. But it's not going to be easy, most likely. But that's all right. That builds character. And then when we tell the tale of the Sixers parade, we talk about, do you remember that tough game six where they had to come back? They were down 5 with 2 minutes to go. They found a way to win, and then they come back and won game 7. That tells the tale. That helps build it up. If this doesn't happen, that one shot doesn't go in, the whole series would have been different. I think it's going to be tough, though. Orville in Norristown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing, Tyrone? Thanks for taking my call. Natalie, and I can't remember the other guy's name, but I go bold as well, only on the Sixers. I think that they will take the championship. All right, I think if they stay in the number one position, it should be an easy road for them.
Well, hold on. One, so you're giving a prediction, but you're throwing in all these caveats. You're saying if and easy. Now, hold on. If the one seed, that was part of the reason why the game against the Nets was so important, that was to secure that tiebreaker. The one seed is absolutely mandatory because otherwise in the second round, you have to play the Bucks, and then after that, you have to play the Nets. That's a tough road for anybody in the league.
I agree with you 100%, but the other teams, I mean, if they play Atlanta or they play the Celtics, it should be, you know, going to the finals should be an easy road.
Well, the way it would go is it'd be some team they could smack around, then the Hawks or the Heat or the Celtics, and then the Nets. That's the easiest path. But if you fall to the two seed, it's some team you can smack around, the Bucks, and then the Nets. And that's a very tough road.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. But it won't be as difficult. Excuse me. I think only the Nets series would be the most difficult.
So you're high on this team right now. Wrong answers. There's no wrong answers.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
When we're predicting the future, I appreciate it. There's no wrong answers. But I think that some people, it sounds to me like, are being a tad bit disrespectful. A little bit disrespectful to the other teams. The Sixers aren't a perfect team, and they're also not a team with championship pedigree yet. That's the one thing that they're missing. They don't have a championship pedigree yet. Now, if the Sixers already had a championship pedigree, then you say you wouldn't even care about the seeding. I think that's part of the reason why the Nets didn't really care about that game is I think they think with their three guys who have a lot of playoff experience, two of them champions, one of them a multi-time champion, that they'll be able to go on the road if need be in a game 7 and win.
And what we're hearing from callers right now is the opposite end of the spectrum from yesterday, where we didn't learn anything about the Nets.
Right.
These are guys who haven't seen KD, Harden, Kyrie Irving play together. Like, they could very much be an incredible super team. We don't know.
We don't know.
But these are the guys who are on the opposite end where they're not scared of them at all. You got to find a medium there.
That's what I think. But again, it's all fine. 610-632-0975. It's all fine if making a prediction, there's no wrong answer right now. But I like that people are at least being bold and saying things. Now, I also think that when people make predictions, they're prone to be positive because they don't want to say anything negative about their squad. Also, this does not have to just be Sixers oriented. The Eagles are big in play. I'm still watching the wire right now to see if they make a trade back into the top 10 today. They say that the Carolina 7th pick could possibly be the target. So we'll be watching that. I don't know if it's imminent, but that's out there. There seems to be a lot of smoke. Writers that I trust have been talking about that. They think that the Eagles are going to be aggressive. And the trade down was mainly about getting the extra first round pick next year more than anybody they didn't like or didn't like this year. A lot of people have said that. Also, I know a lot of people can't call in. The Sound Off line. If you want to make your prediction on Sound Off, that's 610-771-9705. So if you want to make your prediction on the Sound Off line because you can't wait on hold, that's 610-771-9705. Future. We're talking about the future. Jimbo in Upper Darby, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello, Tyrone. Nice to talk to you.
What's up, Jimbo?
I just had my genie
out of the bottle today. Okay. And I think Uncle Roseman is going to trade down and take the kit that cut in Pitts from Florida. And he's going to be his number one receiver for the next 8 years and go to the Hall of Fame. And I'm going to download a picture of Pitts, Whitney, and the Dicker from the Hall of Fame party.
Look at that. Look at that, Jimbo. Now, I appreciate that prediction. He says they're going back up. They got to go high to get Pitts. There's speculation he could go as high as four. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I just hope he doesn't go in their original number six spot if they really like them. Because there is an argument to be made, a strong argument to be made that he's the best football player in the draft. So I hope that they didn't. I don't care where he gets picked. Seventh, fifth, just don't get picked sixth. I don't know what I can do. I don't know how I'll react. I don't know if I can handle that. And I know that whoever the Eagles get may be a great player. I know that I could be very wrong. But it would upset me if he was drafted sixth overall when the Eagles were sixth overall. Anywhere else, and I go, hey, whatever happened, happened. But I can't have him get drafted. Those two things, actually. He also can't go to Dallas. Dallas has a bunch of pass catchers. That quarterback's coming back. And now they'd have a different kind of guy because I actually think they have too many wide receivers. But he can move all around. So no Dallas, no sixth overall, and I'm fine. All right, 610-632-0975. And then you, in my ear, Connor, you can imagine the joke that he made. I won't repeat it. 610-632-0975. Word of the day is future. Yes, we're not just going to react to things. Today we're actually going to go out on a limb when it comes to the Sixers, the Eagles, the Phillies, and the Flyers. And speak some things into existence. We're going to look into the future. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. We're back in 3 minutes on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
'97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. I forgot to open the Twitter poll at the top of the show, so we're going to do it now. And it's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment? Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe contactless pickup in Doylestown. What are the numbers today?
All right, Ty, over 300 votes on this one. Ben Simmons was talking about the future. Do you believe him when he says this can be the year? 77% say yes. 23% say no. That's a lot of optimism.
Now, and also, I'm great with the optimism. Good. But 20% of people yesterday were discouraged by that they didn't beat the Nets by enough. So now, I guess for the people that voted no, that's all of those people and only 3% more of the people. Now, again, I'm for the optimism. What I would like to hear is a little bit of a, not analytics, because we have enough of that in this city. Some analysis that I'm fine with as to why you think it. The reason I think it is, I believe, truly, if I'm going to be completely honest, if I'm looking into the future, that is the word of the day. I don't believe the Nets are ever going to, all three of them are going to be healthy. I have to be, they haven't been. Over a long period of time, and I know some think that they're just being cagey. I think Durant's hamstring was messed up. I don't think he was just sitting out because he wanted to. I think that Harden being out of shape the way that he got out of shape in order to get out of Houston and this compacted schedule and playing all the games that he did at a very high level, but playing all those games, I think now his hamstring's jammed up. And I don't think that they're going to be healthy. I think the good thing for Embiid is he's wearing a damn brace on the knee. The knee, so the brace is going to save Embiid's knee from getting hurt. There's no hamstring brace. Soft tissue is different. It just is. In any sport, the soft tissue thing is just different. There's no way to stabilize it. Like, you can wear something if your forearm's sore in baseball, you can put a pad on it so you can, but if the muscle's sore, then there's nothing you can do. That's why I think, if I'm being completely honest, I'm starting to wonder as the season gets, we talk about, oh, it's only this many games left for the Sixers. They have to get George Hill involved. When exactly are the Nets going to play together? And am I to believe that Kevin Durant, who's a great basketball player, and if he is healthy, he's a killer. Like, you got to make that clear. There's nothing you can take away from a Kevin Durant. But I truly believe that that team's not going to play together enough to win. And that's the biggest reason why I think the Sixers are going to make the finals. If they had played 50 games together, I would probably look at things differently.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And more to the injury thing, too. If they end up, if everything shakes out where it stands right now, and we have the one seed in Philadelphia, two mm-hmm. seed turns out being the Nets facing the Bucks mm-hmm. in the semis, like, Giannis is still a monster, and they don't have anyone inside who can bang with him. If you've got to deal with that, if you have like a KD running in off switches, having to deal with Giannis for a six-game series or a seven-game series, like, soft tissue injuries.
Right.
Harden has to run with some of those guys who can still shoot. You got to chase Middleton around a little bit. Like, they're going to be tired out.
If they, and I don't think it's a lock. Matchups, different matchups. The Sixers match up really well with the Bucks because they had Ben Simmons. If you saw it the last time they played, don't give me that overtime I'm sitting on the floor when Embiid didn't even play. You saw Ben Simmons neutralize Giannis for very long stretches. He got his fifth foul, and that allowed Giannis to do well at the end of the fourth into overtime. When he didn't have five fouls and he could play physical, he was able to really neutralize Giannis in a big way. And that was even without Embiid, who also has played Giannis well in the past. The Nets, on the other side, don't have they don't have that same matchup because physically, Durant is, he doesn't want to play defense like that. He wants to roam and help. He doesn't want to play on the ball defense. And he's too light in the butt. Like, he's just not big enough to guard a guy like that. Matchups make fights. It also makes series. So that's what I'm talking about. So in addition to the future predictions, I would like to hear some analysis as to why you think that. And I truly believe that this summer, has anybody seen anything? Today was supposed to be the day where Harden was reexamined. I haven't seen anything released about when he's coming back again. And I don't think you win a championship without your team playing together at all. Say what you want about the Sixers. They have 30 games together with more to come. How many games are they going to have together? They have seven right now. The most they can have, if he came back now, I think it's 21. That's the most that the Nets could have going into the playoffs. I don't know if that's enough. And I think it's going to be less than that because I don't trust the health of that team. Mike in Levittown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, what's going on?
What's up, Mike?
I agree with you completely. Like, the Nets, they haven't played together all year. Honestly, I think it's going to be a bit of like a Clipper situation with them. I think they lose to the Bucks if the seeding holds out.
Now, let me ask you: Do you think that? Or are you?
No,
hoping,
I really believe that.
Hoping for that because it makes it easier in your mind for the Sixers?
I mean, either way, Giannis or KD got to go up against one of them. Like, neither of them.
You'd rather go against Giannis. KD's better.
Yeah, for sure. You'd rather go against Giannis. But the Bucks are a better team. Like, the Nets, they're flashy. They got Kyrie, Harden, KD, all that. But they haven't played together. Like, chemistry is huge. And I really get that feeling like I did in 2017 that the Sixers are going to get it done. I really do.
I hear you. I hear you. Chemistry does matter. But also, I'm talking about, are they healthy? So they might be able to work through the chemistry stuff if they're all healthy. The question is, can all three of them get to the point that they have not been all year where all three of them are healthy?
Right.
To build that chemistry.
I don't think they do.
And that's been the issue. And if they don't win the title this year, it'll be because Harden's the way he forced his way out of Houston, where he could have just showed up in shape and just said bad things. Instead, he decided to show up as rotund as he possibly could be.
Yeah.
And then, surprise, surprise, your hamstring popped. Of course it popped. You showed up.
Of course.
Like,
yeah.
Eating all of them. Don't look like Derek Coleman.
Mm-hmm. Jamarcus Russell. But yeah, I wanted to make another prediction about what the Eagles should do.
Not what they should do. What do you think they will do?
Man, that's a wild card. I think if they do trade up to, because there's reports they're going to trade up in the top 10, I think they go after Sewell, Penny Sewell.
Okay.
If they do.
And I'm okay. And when do you think the Eagles will next be good?
I'm going to say 23.
So 2 years. So 2021, 2022, and then 2023, they figure out. Okay. Again, there's no wrong answers, but you're on the record. See, and now you know how all the people out there who actually say things feel. You got to actually think about it. And you got to say it out loud. Now, we're not going to hold people accountable. Hey, didn't you say? No. But you know. You'll know in your soul before you go get your Twitter fingers. You'll know. Wait, I was wrong about it. See? We're going to turn the tables today. Everybody's going to predict the future. 610-632-0975. A lot more show to get to. We'll have Brian Westbrook at 4 o'clock. And, of course, your walk-up songs. I've not been asking, guys, what would your walk-up song be if you were in the major leagues? John Kincaid thinks that I would get hit by the pitch because my walk-up song is so slow. I'm taking my time getting to the plate. You'll wait for me. You'll wait. And also, he got to dig in at Connor. He says that yours would be Tight Pants by Jimmy Fallon.
All right. I get enough from him for the first 4 hours of my day. I don't need to hear it now.
Kincaid from the Kincaid Show said tight pants. You are prone to wearing tight pants there, sir.
She's got big legs.
He's stylish.
Right? Thank you,
yeah.
Man.
I got a good look going on. I heard those were out.
No, Connor's got the style. I don't know. So what's it now? Baggy jeans?
I don't know, but they said skinny. I don't know. It moves quick.
It does.
You the Utes. Y'all got to figure it out.
I'm not the Ute.
I'm out the gate. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli, 610-632-0975. 3 o'clock hour, brought to you by Corpley's Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Connor in my normal spot, Natalie in her normal spot, and Mike will be back on Monday. Philly's lineup is out. Cardinals series. Effing the ace on the mound. My guy and the lineup, McCutcheon. It's mostly the regular lineup except Club Tyrone back in the house. McCutcheon, Hoskins, Harper, Realmuto, Bohm, Didi, Segura, and my guy Moniak in center field batting eighth. Let me tell you, I've been telling people about Moniak for the longest time.
Well, that escalated quickly, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Moniak.
Oh, he might get some plays. Oh, hi.
Yeah, like he started. I think he's going to play a lot. They did say that they were not going to bring him up unless he was going to play because he was getting regular at bats.
Right.
Down there in Allentown, because I think they're going against the Yankees. I forget what team, Orioles. They're going against certain minor league teams like all the time. So he's getting at bats.
Right.
So he's coming up to play. And this is all he has to do, though. Bat his weight and field his position. And unfortunately, that's what Quinn and Haseley have not been able to do. Bat your weight and field your position. And I truly believe at this point, I understand first overall pick. He's not going to be a star player. I'm saying that what the Phillies should need if the other guys play the way they're supposed to play is just make contact sometimes. Don't strike out 1,000 times like Roman Quinn. And field your damn position and don't try to steal third like an idiot.
In fairness, Roman Quinn might have batted his weight because he weighs like 110 soaking wet.
That's a good point.
Fielding the position, the arm needs a little bit of work.
Right, and that's what Moniak needs to do. And I honestly believe that if he could come up and do that, he will stick with the team because they don't right now have a better option, and that includes the abuser.
They're seriously 5-41 at the plate.
I mean,
Quinn and Haseley.
It's not great.
That's horrific.
That's what I'm saying. If he just comes up and just literally
hits the ball.
Hit 238 and field your position.
That's better than what they have now.
Massive upgrade. Yes. Right.
The issue is it's early for, they'd rather see him have a little bit more success in the minors, but they're forced to now because they can't bring up Herrera.
Right.
And they can't play Quinn anymore and Haseley's gone. So now you got to give the kid like a month and sink or swim. But hey, hopefully we're all hoping he swims.
That's right. And you know what? Some guys, at some point, he's the first overall pick. They're putting you in the eight hole.
Right.
There's no pressure on you. If he's not going to swim in this scenario, I don't know if more time in the minors. Again, if they need him to bat 270, different. They need him to bat literally 240.
Above the Mendoza line.
And
we'll take above the Mendoza line. Give me 201.
Right.
Field fly balls.
Right. If you just do that, and if he can't do that, then the ghost of Klintak.
He had a good spring. I think we're going to see a little bit from him.
Club Tyrone's in the house.
Oh, yeah.
And just so everybody knows, free shots for every hit that he gets this season.
Oh, nice.
Every Moniak hit, free shot at Club Tyrone.
Do we get a citywide if he goes yard? Do we get the shot in the tall boy?
No.
Oh, come on.
Oh, also, new rule at Club Tyrone, no IPAs. All right.
He was no IPAs. Why? No IPA.
Jamie Lynch has left the building.
Because I don't like them.
Okay, that's fair.
I think they're fraud beers.
I have a request.
Okay.
Can you do tap wine? Can you have wine on tap? Have you ever had tap wine?
No, I don't.
Phenomenal.
You like a tap wine?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Sure.
I mean, just a. I'll put it in the request box.
Who's floating today? Dylan.
Dylan's back.
Yeah. Yeah. Dylan. I need him to. He has to order it.
Okay.
And then Dylan will order.
I'll put it in the request box, too, so you don't forget.
We'll get it all done. We'll get it done.
Thank you.
We will. We'll get it done. And, no IPAs. And word of the day. We're going right back to the phones. Ed and Wilmington's first. Future. We're doing predictions today because Ben Simmons, GQR, talked about how he should be Defensive Player of the Year. Talked about how there's good chemistry on the Sixers. He says that he thinks this is the Sixers' year. He went out on a limb. And some people do not like Ben Simmons being bold. I'm the opposite. I like that people are bold. And the only people who are never wrong are people who don't say anything. So now the onus is on us individually here on this program and all of you out there listening and watching. You're going to be bold today because we're making predictions about the future. Ed in Wilmington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Tyrone, how are you?
What's up, Ed?
Nally and Connor, it's good to talk to both of you as well. Club Tyrone's going to be rocking here real soon. The Sixers are going to do well. I think the Sixers are going to win it all, Tyrone.
All right, so what's the path that you see? Because, again, I'm not correcting you. What's the path?
You know, leaving injuries out of it because you can't predict that kind of thing. I think that they have played the best as a team in the East. I think they take the East, and I think they can take the whole thing. I am 100% in agreement with Ben Simmons. This feels like the year. If you remember last year, we kind of bailed out early in the bubble.
Yeah, well, Ben Simmons was out. They got swept by the Celtics, despite the fact that Embiid averaged 30-10 in the series.
I know. And Tyrone, please let me get my walk-up song in before the end of the call.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Connor broke down the Flyers perfectly. He nailed it. Exactly. They've got so much talent. They just need a little bit of tweaking. Carter Hart actually played great last night. He looked like the Carter Hart of last year.
He did. He's been overall, I think he's been good 3 of his last 4 starts. At least 2 out of his last 3, he's been really good.
They lost their way a little bit along the way, and the wheels fell off the orange bus, and that's the way it went this year. But, you know, just like the Sixers last year, the Flyers, I agree with you, they will be back next year. The Eagles, you're probably looking at, and this is me being optimistic, 2023.
Okay.
I really don't think they're going to be good for a couple of years.
That's been the most That's been the most popular answer so far. No one thinks this year. No one thinks next year. The following year is when people start to believe that it's possible. All right, and your walkout song.
It is probably the best rock song in the last 30 years. It's All My Life, Foo Fighters.
Okay.
Just play the beginning, and you'll know. And Booty's got the best song for you guys right now.
Well, I mean, from a certain generation, my dad's all excited about Booty's song. Booty also said 27 songs. So obviously one of them are going to be good. I picked it. If I had to pick one of other Booty's other songs, they say Booty had no taste. He had five songs. In case he gets five at bats. Where's let me find the whole list.
Well, he said that, you know, Bryce Harper has a different one.
Yeah, but he's not Bryce Harper.
He, in his baseball fantasy, he is.
$300 million.
In Booney's baseball fantasy, he does.
All right. Okay. Well, here were Booney's. Here's Booney's word. So he picked Superbad by James Brown. So that's the one I picked because that was the first one that he gave. Coach East by Audioslave, that's a great song. I loved Audioslave. They're probably my, of the modern bands, they're probably my second favorite one, behind the greatest band of all time, Queens of the Stone Age, who are better than the Beatles. Rusty Cage by Soundgarden. Welcome to the Terror Dome. That's a great one.
Yeah.
And Know How by Young MC. So if I pick another one, people go, I don't know what Booty's thinking about, but because I picked the one to make him look the best, now Booty's a genius.
Well, his list is solid.
It's a solid list.
Yeah, but you don't get five.
You don't get five.
Like,
no, the point of it is you have to pick one. It's like when people do the you know, if you had to pick one album, one book or whatever, you get one.
Yeah, Roman Quinn can go one for five. You got to give us one good one.
Right.
Stake it on one hit.
Also, he mentioned the five at bats. What if the five at bats are because everybody around him hits, to your point? Like, if everybody in front of you and behind you hits, but you're 0-for, you went 0 for 5 with five different songs? Yeah, I can't have that. I can't. He can get five songs. We've never seen Booney play softball, baseball, or any sport. We've only heard him sing. And he's a good singer.
But he should sing his own walk-up song.
Oh, right. Record it and play it back?
Yeah.
We had a guy we played with in college that came out to his own music.
He did?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Now he's actually a producer out on the West Coast now. So he actually is doing a little bit of something with
it.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but he came out to his senior year, he came out to his own song.
So he like put together a song with vocals or just instrumental?
Just instrumental. He made a beat and he came out to it.
Oh, I like
that. That's not bad, right?
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody's doing that right now. Now, obviously, I'm not keeping track of every baseball team, but I thought I would have heard about that. I think everybody's picking like a popular song that's out.
Yeah, no one's coming out to their like their own music. If you had like intro music in the NBA, if every player got their own, like Dame would come out to a beat.
To his,
or something.
Yeah, because but Dame's also the best athlete rapper ever, like by a wide margin. Like he's significantly better than everyone
else. Just above Shaq.
Significantly above Shaq.
I would go see Shaq's DJ set.
Oh, that's different.
As a rapper, in a second.
He did have a good song with Biggie.
Yeah, what was that?
I forget the name of that song. That was a good song Shaq had with Biggie.
Well, he had a little bit of help on that one. Like,
yeah, Shaq wasn't bad. It's just Dame's really good.
Yeah.
Like, Dame could be a rapper. Shaq was always, to me, an athlete who was rapping. While Dame could be a rapper without basketball. So that's where it's a little different. Mike in Creekside, you're on 97.5 for now.
Good evening, lady and gents.
What's up, Mike?
All right. Okay, which one you want first? I guess my song would be Everyday People, Spy in the Family.
All right.
I love it, Mike.
That would be your walk-up song?
I'm an everyday person.
Right, so you're telling me if you were walking up to bat in the major leagues, you would want to remind all the fans that you were just an everyday person?
Yeah.
All right. I like the sentiment. I prefer the swag, but I do like that sentiment. What do you have on the Eagles?
NFL Channel just did a pro rating of the general managers in the NFL.
Yeah.
Howie came out 21st out of 23. I guess the other nine must be new people or just 1 year old.
Right.
So for established people, Howie is 21 out of 23. And the Eagles will not be in the playoffs or whatever until they get a football person in there, and I don't know if they can move up because there's only about three spots, and then you got the Dallas supposed to be trying to move up. You got New England trying to move up, and I don't think there's enough spots. And if the Eagles do move up, my prediction, they're going to have to overpay.
Well, they may be, but they're in a position where they can overpay. That's the advantage of possibly having three first-round picks next year. They could overpay to do so. Those other teams do not have the amount of ammo that the Eagles have. If the Eagles want to go up, they can go up.
Yeah, but that would make Howie look kind of stupid to put himself in that situation when he was already there to pick who he a player, and now you're going to have to give up that much capital.
But they got capital on the way down. I tell you what, if Howie Roseman gets a good player, I'm at the point where I damn near don't care how he gets it. Just get a good player, Howie. You have drafted miserably. They got you 21st out of 23 in the NFL Network. Now, ESPN would rank him higher because he's got some shields there. That would be, I know what you're talking about. Huh? It's normal for a calculator to pick players. Like, how are you going to, I'm not going to say any name, but how is it that we're supposed to believe, and I'm not analytics are just data, but football, and every football guy who wins knows this. Blocking, tackling. Why'd the Chiefs lose the Super Bowl? Because they couldn't block. Blocking and tackling. If you get players that can block and you get players that can tackle, a smart coach can figure out a scheme around that. And then your skill guys are icing. That's part of the reason why Jerry Rice has Super Bowls, but Randy Moss, for example, doesn't. They didn't lose because of Randy Moss. Randy Moss' teams lost because they didn't do a good enough job blocking and tackling.
You know what else I think is interesting that I think people forget, and when we talk about analytics, this kind of always comes up, is, you know, how you have to have a feel for the game. But also, the analytics can never predict the mental side of the game, too. So, for instance, like somebody like Brandon Brooks, who historically, you know, has struggled with anxiety, that will never, no matter what it says on the field, that it will never be able to take that into account.
Nope, that's why you need the football people.
Yes.
And what you need to do is have your analytics grade out the players and then let the football people pick from there. You don't have the football people put it together and then you pick based on the analytics, and there's the scout's number one player, and then you take their number two player, because if you believe anything coming from the Eagles, that's what happened when on the Rager pick. And I do, by the way, hope that, and I've said it a lot of times, Rager has a really good year, ends up being a Hall of Fame wide receiver. But in year one, it looks insane that the analytics outweighed or overruled the scouts. Because Jefferson played. And most football guys said that because he played in the slot and it was good in space, he had a very high floor. And then it turned out his ceiling was very high.
Well, and you know what?
Rager was much more boom or bust. And in year one, it was a bust.
Well, and you know what else is funny, too? You think about last season and how everyone was like, oh, Doug's playing Madden. He really was. Because he was being told to.
He was being told to play Madden.
He was literally being told to play Madden. And that's the whole, that's the disconnect, right? Is because what we just learned with that report this week is he was being overruled.
Being overruled.
And being told to play Madden because that's what they were doing. And it was a joke last year. Everyone's like, why is he out there playing Madden? Because he actually was. We now know that he was playing Madden.
And I think the reason he was because, one, he was told to, and two, that I'm fine with overruling Doug Peterson because I don't think Doug Peterson was the greatest football coach to ever live.
No, right.
My issue with the overruling was it was people who knew less than him overruling him. Like, that's like a parent out there. So you going to let your kids tell you, like, how to cook dinner? They don't know about a stove. They don't know anything. You going to let your six-year-old tell you how to handle your money? That kid thinks $5 is $1 million. He thinks he can buy a car for $10. He's six. You wouldn't let him yet Howie Roseman. And I don't know if Howie, when it comes to game day football, I don't know if Howie Roseman knows more. I don't believe Howie knows more than any of you. I think he knows more about the salary cap. I think he knows more about, like, the mechanics of a draft. But as far as actual football, I don't think he knows more than anyone listening, anyone watching, or any of us here. yet he's overruling football people. And then a guy who knows less than Howie is now the director of strategy and not the head coach. See, now we're on a tangent. I'm not going to get upset. 2025 is the next time you're going to be good.
But do you know what I think?
2025.
Do you know what I think about every night before I go to bed? And I'm not even kidding. I will never understand. I do understand why, but why they just never rolled Wentz out of the pocket more. And I don't know if this is going to like help me or hurt me in knowing that there was all of these other people involved, right? Because Doug kept saying, I just need to call it more, but he never did.
Yeah.
And I will always wonder for the rest of my life, is that why?
Yeah, you're just going to drive yourself crazy.
Yeah.
Wentz will never say it. He's gone. Doug will never say it.
I need to know, gone. Though.
I think Doug eventually will say it.
Yeah, somebody but years down the line.
Yeah, he'll say it in another book.
Long after you've gone crazy wondering about it for the next 10 years.
I'm not kidding. Every single night.
Yeah, and Howie won't tell you because he wants to cover his own behind.
But Wentz is too good of a person. That's why I don't believe that whole story of Carson Wentz is the worst human being to ever be born. Like, I don't believe those stories because if he was the worst person ever to be born, he'd be throwing some people under the bus. And he's thrown nobody under the bus. So what he was a quarterback that played bad.
Yeah, and you could argue, like, not coachable, but that doesn't make him a bad person.
I don't know if you can argue uncoachable. If the coach is telling him what the analytics person said, then I'm not coachable either.
Okay.
Exactly.
If Howie Roseman is coming up telling me where to throw the ball.
Carson came
into the studio and said, you should start talking about the Bengals.
I got a spreadsheet that says the Bengals are going to hit today. So, yeah, talk about the Bengals.
Does that make me uncoachable? Because somebody who doesn't know what the hell they're talking about is telling me bad stuff? No. So I can't go with that.
And Carson knew? He had to know what was going on.
Everybody
knew.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Word of the week is future. See, we were just talking about the past. I'm going to stay on the future. I stand by it. The Eagles will be good again in 2025. That is my harsh reality 2 weeks before the NFL draft.
Thanks for the positivity.
What say you? What say you? On the other side, we'll have more reaction from everybody and Nats news here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli. 610-632-0975. Time to update our Twitter poll, and that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. What are the numbers right now?
All righty, Ty. Today's poll has over 500 votes on it so far. Ben Simmons was talking about the future. Do you believe him when he says this can be the year? 78% say yes, 22% say no. So 1% more than last time.
That's interesting. We'll dig into that a little bit deeper. And right now, though, it is time for Nats News.
That's right. Alrighty, so first things first, Maine is changing some laws surrounding funeral services. So they may now allow Viking-style funerals.
What?
Yes. So a measure before the state legislature this session would allow Mainers to choose a death ritual that stretches back to ancient times but has largely vanished from modern-day America. Outdoor cremations, if adopted, it would let people in the Pine Tree State choose to go out like a Jedi or Viking king in a blaze of glory in the open air. So, you know, if you've seen Game of Thrones or The Phantom Menace, you've seen, like, the fictional ones, but its body's cremated on a bed of timber.
Troy.
Yes, Troy. So it's still practiced in some part of the world, but it's not. And then there's only 2 sites in the U.S. where it's legal. They're both in Colorado. One of them's public, and they can't do more than a dozen funerals annually. But, yeah, it could allow people in Maine to do this. And you have to, it's a nonprofit, and they have 20 acres to carry out open-air cremations one at a time, and then they can scatter the ashes on the property.
Oh. Man, how hot does it have to get?
I mean, it's like a thing, you know? It has to be really
hot.
You
have all these hot coals, and then you're just going to be burning the body in front of people?
Yep, yep.
That's a little barbaric.
Yeah.
What is this?
I mean, some people want it, I guess.
The last Viking funeral I was at was 38 to 7, right?
Yeah.
You played your own rim shot.
I mean, no one else has played.
That's okay. Yeah, so, I mean, they have to do more vetting to ensure that the cremations can be conducted in a manner that fully disposes of the entire remains.
Yeah, see, I thought that had to be very high to get the bones and stuff.
Yeah, people are kind of against it. Some people aren't, but the guy who's pushing for it said it's more respectful, and they can be and other people can be present for the ceremony.
How is burning someone in a yard more respectful?
How's that more respectful?
I don't know. And then
it's cheaper. That's what he should say. It's cheaper,
right? So what happens is, in Colorado, they're wrapped in linen and placed on top of a steel grate inside a brick-lined hearth, surrounded by concrete that's a few feet high, woods piled under the grate to provide the necessary heat, and juniper branches piled around the corpse.
You know what?
And families light the flame?
Come on, man.
What?
So you light your mama on fire?
Grandma on fire. What's going on
look,
here?
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm out on this.
Yes, I mean, scientists are involved, and it says they've looked into environmental and health risks, and there's nothing to worry about.
I'm not worried about the environment.
Yeah.
Light your cousin on fire.
Right, but I mean, the good news is they would have zero carbon footprint. So it would be good
versus,
for the...
Versus burying people now?
I suppose.
Has a high carbon
Everything decomposes.
That's why he put it 6 feet deep, because it decomposes.
Yeah. So
I'm out.
But yeah, so a public hearing hasn't been scheduled yet. But for anybody who's interested, Maine might be your spot if you want to have a Viking funeral.
You better have lived that Viking. I will say this, you guys out there thinking that it's a good idea, because I know there's some. You better have lived a good lifestyle. Don't be in here all soft and weak and scared of your spouse and then think you're getting buried like a Viking.
Right.
Like, you better fit you. You better, like, you can't better, be a like, radio wear, person. You can't be an accountant.
No, you have
be
to, like,
a construction worker.
You're like a Viking.
Military.
Yeah, you have to wear the hat, maybe have a sword.
You got to.
Right?
Well, no, maybe I'm talking about your life, how you lived.
You don't have to dress like a Viking, but you got to be like.
Yeah, but
you
gotta I mean,
like,
maybe.
If you're in Maine, you got to be like a woodsman.
You can't be a vegetarian or a pescatarian like me. You got to eat, like, meat. Like off the bone.
Off the bone, yeah.
Like, you can't be living like that and then get buried like a Viking there, softy.
I mean, why? You might.
Nope.
Gotta earn it.
Gotta
it's
earn
an honor.
It. Right. It's right. You gotta earn it.
I don't know. I think if you dress the part, you might as well. So anyway, did we talk about this, the beefalo? The beefalo?
No.
All right. What? So a beefalo, which is a cross between a bison and a domestic cattle, got out of its crate. It was on its way to the slaughterhouse in August. So it was being loaded off of the truck in Plymouth, and it got out. And it was finally caught after months on the lam. So after more than 250 days on the run, an 800 to 900-pound beefalo that's been roaming the woods in western Connecticut since it escaped on its way to a slaughterhouse has been captured.
Well, they're not going to slaughter it, right? Well, or just freedom, right?
So his nickname is Buddy. He was on a wildlife...
Buddy.
No.
You named it. He's not going to the slaughterhouse anymore.
So they caught him. He was on a wildlife camera set up by police, and failed attempts to lure him into a pen with food gained widespread attention and inspired the creation of several social media accounts in his name. They caught him on Wednesday, posting the picture on social media with the word captured, and a second photo showed him in the pen. He wandered onto a farm in town and was hanging out with some cows.
Well, the farm owner
snagged him and eventually got him into a trailer. They should have just, why couldn't they just let him be with the cows?
Yeah, he was probably lonely. Hasn't seen anyone in a while.
I think he earned his freedom, and I believe that should apply to people. If you break out of prison, or you rob a bank, if you stay free for 7 years, it should go away.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you rob a bank, and you don't because now murder is different.
Right.
You can't, you can't have hurt somebody.
Right.
But if you rob a bank clean, and you don't hurt anybody, and you stay free for 7 years, you should be all right, you're good. And if you break out of prison, and you don't hurt anybody. You can't kill a guard or something.
Right.
And you stay free for 7 years.
Yeah, it's like you earned it.
You've earned your freedom.
I don't even know if it needs to be that long. Like, well, with all the technology and how hard it is today, it's so easy to find people.
You go
365, you're good.
It's supposed to be hard.
Yeah.
We need it to be difficult. We don't want to encourage it.
Right.
Well, no.
So if you 365, you might be able to go. No. It has
no,
to be
you're missing
time.
For a year. You're gone. You're off the grid.
Phil, that feels
I'm all right
easy.
With that.
That feels easy.
Feels
yeah.
easy. Disappearing
yeah.
for a year with all the technology.
Feels
no
easy.
Cell phone, no computer.
Feels
can't
easy.
Talk to
so
anyone.
The good news is Buddy will not receive the death penalty. The Beefalo, he'll be heading to Massachusetts for a vet exam, and then he's going to find his happy little life at the Critter Creek Farm Sanctuary in Gainesville, Florida.
All right.
I know. Good. Isn't that nice? Good. So there was a lot of people kind of pitched in, and they raised money for him for his care. So, I mean, I feel like that's a really happy ending.
That is.
And yet, like you said, he earned it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so community effort. They fed him through the winter, and then they finally captured him. So right. good for Buddy, mm-hmm. the Beefalo, which I didn't even know was like a thing. 900 pounds. He was huge.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's this other incident that happened, you know, that I love animal stories. So there was it was a viral video, and you got to see the video. This bobcat, did you see it?
Yeah, I saw this.
This is insane.
It's wild.
Yeah, this bobcat attacked this guy's wife.
Oh, I did see that.
Oh, did you see it?
Yeah.
And then the guy threw the bobcat onto
yeah.
the lawn?
Yeah, but how'd that, the bobcat came right back.
Right.
I know. But the guy's name is Happy.
That's the guy's name?
Yes.
So his parents were hippies?
Probably.
Definitely.
So it was in North Carolina
mm-hmm.
where this happened, but they can pounce over 10 feet.
So I saw the video. I'll give him credit. He grabbed the bobcat to throw it.
Now, yeah. I wouldn't have done that.
I wouldn't have done that because it's not productive.
Yeah.
You see, I don't know how to hurt a bobcat because I don't know enough about the bobcat.
That would have been a kick.
Yes.
I'm not picking it up. He's holding it at face level.
Right, like that.
Like
yeah.
one swat and it's game over.
Like, I guess like, that was like his wife probably should, you know, he deserves a reward. He deserves
right.
a reward for being
yeah.
so brave. But it was kind of stupid to bring him up to eye level, something with claws and teeth.
So apparently, bobcats don't really attack people like that. That's
that
what they
did.
Say.
But
well, that's
did,
what
I
they.
Know,
it could
it
have
attack?
Been
we
like feral.
It was behind the car
yeah,
in the
like,
video.
Or was it just walking, and it happened upon the wife?
That's also possible. And then if she got afraid because she realized it was
right.
a bobcat, because they only
and it was like behind her, so it like
yeah.
comes up, bumps into her leg. You freak out a little.
Yeah,
like, that's what I wonder. Like we didn't see an attack.
Yeah, no, I no, but I mean, He threw it,
and then the bobcat came right back.
They eat rodents.
Oh.
I would love
so
to
I
have
like
a bobcat. Yeah, I like a bobcat, too.
Killing rodents.
Andrew Salchunas needs a bobcat.
Yeah, because his cat's not doing enough. He's
no.
got a mice issue.
He has a mouse issue. And you know that
mouse.
I had a mouse issue.
Yeah, are you sure it's not a rat issue?
I don't have it anymore.
Cats take care of the mice. They don't, nothing takes
remember
care of
Remember, Maya had three stripes? I showed you a photo of it.
Yeah, it might
he
have been
a tatted.
Rat.
He was tatted.
Might have been a rat.
He was a tatted, and he wasn't afraid.
Well, thank you for Nat's news today.
Yeah.
I tell you what, if you don't at least do what that guy did, you don't get a Viking funeral.
Now, what? Send off a bobcat?
Yeah, if you
yeah.
can't do that, because I would have kicked
right.
it and ran.
Right.
Right.
Like, I'm not fighting a bobcat. I'm not that brave.
Right.
And I'm not ashamed of it either.
Well, right. I'm not picking it up. It's just not smart to pick it up.
Yeah,
see,
why would I
get
pick
your
up a
hands
bobcat?
All clawed up and everything? Just give it a kick.
I would probably befriend it or try to.
Oh, the
give
follow-up
it like
says
a, give it
the
like
bobcat
a snack.
Was rabid, and that's why it was so close.
Right. See?
Yeah, you can't pick
up
a rabbit.
Bobcat.
He didn't know it was rabid.
Yeah, you should assume.
You got to assume if it's around people.
Wild animals that attack you are normally they've
now,
got something going
now,
on.
I know. Remember the raccoon
shot.
With Ginger?
She's got to get a. They both got to get a rabies shot now.
Those shots stink.
I know. You got to get that rabies shot, and in addition to the and tetanus, they got to do both.
Well, Carol Baskin from Tiger King said that she knew that something was up with the bobcat because it's very rare.
Thanks,
and
thanks, Carol.
And because any
what's up with your husband?
They're really shy. I know.
What's up with your husband,
yeah.
Carol?
Yeah.
Like before you chime in on anything,
right?
I'm not filling us in on what you did to your husband.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about a bobcat,
she
Carol.
She definitely fed him to the tiger.
She definitely
totally
fed
did.
Him
I
to the
I can't believe
tiger.
It's been a year since
yeah.
you know we've all been exposed to
oh, my
Tiger
goodness.
King.
Oh my
wow.
goodness! All right. Whew. Rabbit bobcat. Yeah, but if you're not fighting a bobcat, Booney says he wants the Viking funeral.
See?
I don't know if he qualifies. We'll talk about that on the other side. Let's get Alfred on the cell. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. We'll see if he qualifies.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
What's up, Alfred?
Hey, listen. You guys were really right about this whole injury. Well, especially you, Tyron. You stole my thunder. I wanted to talk about the injuries, come playoffs for the 76ers, the Nets, Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be the dominating factor in the story in the entire playoffs.
It could be.
Whoever makes it through, they might actually put an asterisk by that champion's name.
No, you don't do that. If that's the case, the Raptors should have one. The Raptors were lucky enough to get Durant and Klay Thompson hurt. Otherwise, you can't do that. And Embiid's sick. So you don't put an asterisk next to it, but I think that's going to be the key thing, partially because but everybody's working under the same rules. So there's no asterisk. Working under the same rules. The rules are a compacted schedule, too many games in too few games, in too few days solely for money because of a stupid play-in tournament.
Yeah.
If you add an extra week to the season, that's way less back-to-backs for everybody because there's an extra couple days in there to play games.
I totally agree. But it's just such an unusual year, the pandemic and this whole thing going on. Even people recovering from injuries don't get the same kind of support, the same kind of interaction that they normally have in order to rehab and stuff, too. And getting tired, too, that whole thing, like Connor mentioned. It's going to be strange. I think the whole pandemic thing has really affected the Flyers more than other teams. A young team, and it's been mentioned before, these young teams, when they're, the whole regular way that they do things, their regime, their resume and stuff, all changed. And I think it really, really affected them. And then the Oscar Bloom thing was going on last year. When they came back to play for the
playoffs. That's last year. Everybody's playing under the pandemic. Yes, they're young. So what? I don't want to be. The pandemic has made it tough on everybody. And there's always a bit of injury luck or different things involved in all sports. The Flyers do not get a pass. I believe that they'll be good next year, but there's no pass for how bad they've been this year. Everyone's been in a pandemic. Not like the Flyers been in a pandemic and everybody else has been chilling. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We will reset on the other side. Word of the day is future. 3-minute break right here. Tyrone Johnson and for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Right, 75 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli, 610-632-0975. Word of the day is future. Future, future, future. And you see, I'm putting people in an uncomfortable spot on purpose. And the reason is, Ben Simmons, he goes on, has a GQ interview in which he says that he believes that, amongst other things, he talked about his defense, he talked about his aggression, and he says that there's times where he's double-teamed. Which I don't personally, I've never seen that. I don't know if I've seen in this season more than a handful of times where Ben Simmons has been double teamed. No disrespect, I just don't see that. He's great defense. And he believes that the chemistry's good with this team and this is the year to win a championship. He thinks they're going to beat the Nets. And I like that he's bold and went out there out on a limb. And the thing about this sports talk radio medium, too often, it's just about, really it's about complaining. But when it's not complaining, it's about reacting. And I think it's different. We should be able to survey the landscape. Because if we're going to be the types, and we all are, the type to go out there and call out players and say what should be done, all right, that means that we're putting ourselves as experts. Rather than fans that just root or not root. And we're a quality smart fan base. we should be able to do some predictions. We should be able to talk about the future comfortably and not worry about if you get something wrong. And too often, you have a bunch of people who only react to things. They don't speak it into existence. They don't talk about it. And we're going to do it through all four squads. We've been talking about it all day. The Eagles, drafts less than 2 weeks. What are they going to do in the draft? When will they next be good? Because we've heard about the massive dysfunction again this week. The Sixers, possible finals preview tonight against the Clippers right here on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Sixers Outsiders later. Gotta get that plug in, you know, after post-game live. So you want to make sure you stay tuned for that because that show's a beast. I heard. People told me.
That it's a beast.
That
very
show.
Good. It is beast. Yeah,
fantastic. Like
Viking,
it's a beast.
You know, Viking funeral award game.
Yep, award.
Light that on fire.
Emmy nominated. You know, it's doing things. So that show, you know, something like.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. So, and then predict. Do you agree with Ben Simmons? Do you think that the Sixers, is this their year? Don't wait till it happens and say, see, Ben Simmons didn't shoot and that's why they lost. No, no. Say it now. Also, the Phillies this weekend. And the Flyers, when will the Flyers be good again? Was this a one-year blip or was last year the blip? Because now we don't know. Because before last year, they weren't a playoff team, and they hadn't been. I mean, until last year, they hadn't won a playoff series, it feels like, in a decade. So was last year the fluke or is this year the fluke? 610-632-0975, because it's too easy, in my opinion, to just react and say, and the worst people in the world, the worst human beings on earth are the people that hear a prediction and they don't say something bad about the prediction in real time. They wait. And then they go, hey, Johnny, didn't you say 7 months ago that this was going to happen? Well, it didn't happen and here I am. What did you say? What did you say? And it's a mistake that too many people make. Like when someone says, Jokic is going to be the MVP. I say something about that he shouldn't be now. I don't wait and see if Jokic wins or doesn't win and then take a shot at the person. We can't do that, and we're not going to do that today. 610-632-0975. Dominic in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, Tyron?
What's up, Dominic?
I just got a couple points on the future of the Sixers and the Eagles for you.
All right.
This upcoming draft, I believe the Philadelphia Eagles will be drafting Devontae Smith with the number 12th overall pick.
Okay.
And the reason I say this is the Eagles need to make a decision on Jalen Hurts. They have to see if he's the right quarterback, if he's good for the future or not. And you have to get him some weapons to see what he's got. Because if they don't give him any help, then you're just going to be thinking with Carson Wentz last year, going to the future being, is this our guy, is this or not our guy?
So you want to give him more weapons?
I
think he's a good player. I like him. I would have no problem personally with that pick. And my only issue would be who's picking them, because the last couple receivers that they picked couldn't play. That doesn't mean he can't. It just means I don't trust the people that are picking the wide receiver because their analytics don't know how to do it.
No, I 100% agree with you. I think the analytics and Howie Roseman have done a terrible job drafting for this organization over the past couple of years. But the main reason, when I get to your point about the future, I think the Eagles will be back contenders in 2023. And I say this because when they draft Devontae Smith and say Hurts doesn't pan out, I truly believe the Eagles, with all this draft capital, will trade for Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson if he's cleared of all these charges in the 2022 offseason.
Wait, the 2020. So after next year, then they'll make the trade for one of the quarterbacks.
Yes. I think they're going to get this year for Hurts, seeing if he has what it takes or not.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem with what you just said. And they're not against it. Is there's nothing he can show this year to where it wouldn't make sense to trade for one of those two guys. There's nothing he can do this year unless he goes to the unless they make the playoffs. There's nothing that would stop me from going to get one of those guys after the year, because I just don't know how he can go from playing just four games to showing Hall of Fame. Like, Watson's a top five quarterback. Wilson's a top five quarterback. Is he going to project in a 17-game season with who knows who as teammates? Is he going to already project to being? I don't know if that can happen. I don't know. So in that scenario, that means the Eagles are going to get him. Because I don't think there's anything Jalen Hurts could do if that's a real option. this year. I truly don't believe so. 610-632-0975. On the other side, we'll have Brian Westbrook for the entire 4 o'clock hour. We're going to have him go out on a limb. He fancies himself a sportsman. We'll put him to the test. Also, I know he's going to weigh in on some of this dysfunction stuff from this week. A lot of this stuff came out since he was last on our air. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yep.
NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 610-632-0975 in the 4 o'clock hour, brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at LandisBC.com. He also brings our guest for the entire 4 o'clock hour, Mr. Brian Westbrook. What's going on today, Brian?
Good afternoon, Ty, man. How are you?
Man, I'm doing pretty well, man, and I hope everything's going well with you. And the word of the day today has been future, because this is something I noticed. Now, you have been on both sides of it because you obviously played pro sports. Mm-hmm. Now you're a media member. And what I noticed is I think it's a bit of a flaw. The one thing that we do is, as on Sports Talk Radio, obviously we complain a lot, but we react. And we don't sometimes make our own predictions ahead of time. And then what we like to do is tell somebody else that their prediction was wrong. and that's something that we do. So with the 4 major sports, I'm going to ask you before we get into a whole bunch of other stuff right at the top, I'm going to put you on the spot with some of these questions and then get your prediction on it. There's nothing wrong. We'll find out in the future. But that way everybody's on the record. I've been holding people accountable all day long. That way people don't say, oh, well, Brian said the Eagles were going to do this. And then they come back and say, what happened there, Brian? No, no, no. It's easy. I say the only people that are never wrong are people that don't say anything.
Mm-hmm. So, I'll get you there.
All right. So Ben Simmons did an interview with GQ. Came out literally just today where he talked about his defense and the team chemistry and his aggression, all these things. But one note that I took from it is he believes that this year is the Sixers' year. So I want to ask you right now, Brian, as it sits here on April 16th, how far do you think, if you're going to project into the future, that the Sixers go this season?
Well, before we even get there, I mean, if I'm Ben Simmons, I got to believe that this is the Sixers' year as well, and hopefully to be able to build to the future. When you see LeBron hurt and Anthony Davis hurt, yep, and then the combination of all the guys missing games up there in Brooklyn, I mean, I got to believe, especially with Joel having an MVP caliber season and Ben playing better than he has, I would be saying the same thing. I think you would be crazy not to say the same thing. But so I would say the same thing as Ben. But, you know, even with all that being said, if the guys up in Brooklyn get healthy, it's hard for me to imagine that the Sixers can beat them in a 7-game series. And so I don't think that this year is their year. But I do believe next year could be the Sixers' year. I think the second year of Doc Rivers, you potentially add another piece, and now, you know, you get that to work a little bit better with Doc and Ben and Joel and Embiid and hopefully another piece. Now you got a different type of team. To me, next year is the year for the Sixers, not necessarily this year.
And that's fine. And I haven't argued with anybody's prediction. And you also laid out with analysis as to why you thought that. I think that they can get to the finals, partially because you mentioned the health part. And while we focus on Embiid and the issues here, there's a reason that Durant, Kyrie, and Harden have only played 7 games together. And I don't have a full trust now that Harden's down with his hamstring, mm-hmm, partially because he was intentionally out of shape to get up out of Houston. I no longer have faith that I could just assume that all 3 are going to be healthy this year. And if it happens, then I'm wrong. But I'm starting to believe that it may not get to a point where all 3 actually do play together.
You know what the buzz in Brooklyn is that, you know, the guys could potentially play, but they are trying to make sure that they're 100% in for the playoffs. And for us, as Sixers fans, we're saying, well, you guys could try to get healthy for the playoffs, but we're going to be rolling by the time the playoffs come. And for you guys in the playoffs, we're talking about the Nets at this point, you guys are going to have to figure out how to play together once again and kind of get the steam rolling on that ship just a little bit more. And so I hope that the Sixers have their way throughout the playoffs. And we never know what happens with the injury to Harden or even Durant coming back, you know, in these few games so far. So, yeah, I got to believe that they're close. But if they're healthy, then I think the Nets are still the better basketball team.
Right, I hear you. And now that's like the appetizer. For the main course, obviously, is we're talking about the Eagles. The draft now less than two weeks from yesterday, the NFL draft will start. Right now, the Eagles had the 12th overall pick. Previously, they had the 12th overall pick. We'll see if they trade back up. So two questions. One, do you think they trade up? What do you think happens in the draft? So that's projecting short term. And then the next question is, when do you think that the Eagles are next a good team? Because we pretty much agree, and I'm sure you're going to say the same thing, that 2021 is not going to be the year where the Eagles return to the playoffs.
No, 2021 is not going to be the year. And you got a question depending on the quarterback situation if 2022 is going to be the year. To me, I think if we were being realistic, 2023 will be the year the Eagles return back to the playoffs, and hopefully you get a couple of good years of quarterbacking, and you allow a team to grow under Nick Sirianni. There's a couple of things that have to happen. First of all, he has to establish a culture. He has to figure out who he's going to be as a head coach. Remember, 39-year-old guy that's never called plays, never been a head coach, especially not on this level. It takes time for you to develop the chemistry. It takes time for you to get the guys to believe in your program, your culture, the character of your team. So that's not an overnight thing. And usually it takes a little bit of success for that to happen. And based upon, you know, what everyone has said, and I kind of believe the same thing, they're not going to have a bunch of success this year for that belief, that faith to build itself. And so it's going to take a couple years. I think 2023 is a fair assumption of when they're going to be able to get back into the playoffs. And when you mentioned the fact, the question about will they trade up in the draft, and I read something today that they were thinking about trying to trade up to number 7, get back into the top 10. You know, it's interesting, and they, you know, the question is, why would you get out of number 6 if you wanted to trade back up? Well, maybe there was some value there. You pick up another pick, you try to figure things out that way. But you know, if you can get up and get the guy that you want. And here's my philosophy. You're at 12 right now. You're going to have your pick of a cornerback or a wide receiver. And I think at that point, you may be able to get the guy that you want. So there may not be a need to trade back up. I mean, you're not trading up. You're not going to get Kyle Pitts. I can tell you that right now.
No,
you're not
going
to be able to get up
no
high
way.
Enough to. Yeah, you're not going to get up high enough to get him. So what are you trading up to get a guy that's a little bit better than the guy that you're going to get at 12? I'm not so sure that that's a good move, especially after trading down and accumulating more picks.
Right. So this is the tough part for me, Brian, because this is the first time you've been on since the latest report. Now, there's been McManus had some reports, and Jeff McClain has some reports. So now three different writers on The Athletic for 2 months got a bunch of sources talking about the Eagles situation. And no matter who the reporter was, they say it's very different than when you were at the Eagles with Andy Reid, how things are running that building now. And a lot of it sounds just crazy to me. And I want to ask you about some of those things and how it can affect your possible 2023. So you have a guy now. When Andy Reid was there and when Chip Kelly was there, the person who was in charge of quote-unquote strategy was Andy Reid, and then it was Chip Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
It has shifted slowly during the Doug Peterson regime to the point where now it's a Harvard-educated guy who's tight, who was hired as an intern years ago out of college, who has become tight with Jeff Lurie's son. He is now the, quote, director of strategy, not a football guy in any way, shape, or form. And his word right now overrules any football guy's word, including this, the previous head coach who had won a Super Bowl. So you're damn sure he overrules Nick Sirianni, who you mentioned, 39 years old, never called plays. He has no pull. Are you comfortable thinking they can return in 2023 with this particular new wrinkle being coming out?
I think it's tougher. I think you put yourself behind the eight ball, and it is much tougher than if you had a football guy at the helm making the decisions. The reason why the Andy Reid situation work was because Andy knew exactly the type of players that he needed. He knew the type of players that he had on his team. And then he had to figure out the type of guys he had to go out there and get for his football team. And even bigger than all of that, Andy had the trust of Jeffrey Lurie. He had the trust of Joe Banner. But he also had the trust of the guys in the locker room. He controlled that team. And he allowed some guys, as far as leaders in that locker room, to control things. The problem that we've seen over the last, it seems like 10 years here in Philadelphia, ever since Andy Reid left, was that you bring in Chip, and you give Chip some power, and he kicks Howie to the other side. That obviously is a big issue. And then you get rid of Chip, and ever since then, they haven't had a coach that they believed in fully, which is sad because, again, you won the Super Bowl. I mean, it's just like, I mean, you know, even in some of my businesses, we try to hire the best people and allow them to do their job, allow right. them to be the person that they want to be. And unfortunately here, it sounds like Jeffrey Lurie, and this I'm going by all these reports and everything that I mean, I talk to people in the building all the time.
Right.
But it seems like they hired a guy that they didn't have as much faith in, and they thought that they were going to micromanage him into being the guy that they wanted him to be. To me, that's not the way that you want to run a business. It sounds like, to me, the way that I would want to run a business is go get the best guy and then allow him to, you know, and of course, you ask him some questions. You want to know what's going on as the owner, but I'm not dictating to that guy who I said is the best in the business what he should do and what he shouldn't do with his football team. That wouldn't be my place as an owner, especially if I'm talking about one of the better coaches in the league. It just wouldn't make sense for me to do that.
And this is my concern. I'm actually, you said 2023, everybody, Connor agreed with you, and we're going to talk about you and Connor in just a little bit because this is the first time where we get to address this situation. I said 2025 and Nat said 2025 because I have trouble believing that the people who have got the Eagles into this situation and will get them out of it because the Eagles seem to not think they're doing anything wrong. I think they think their way is, word of the day, the future. Everyone else is behind. They're smarter than everybody. And even though the Tampa Bay Bucks, who drafted really well and went and got Tom Brady, but drafted really well for a number of years and has a football guy in charge, and Andy Reid, those were the Super Bowl people, obviously a football guy who has definitely modernized and doesn't coach the same way with the hard practices, for example, that he used to do with you guys. He's evolved. But football guy versus football guy was just in the Super Bowl. Yet I think they truly believe that non-football guy analytics is the future, is the way to go. And that's why I have a tough time thinking that they're just, I think that they may be putting themselves in a position to be like the Jets, where they'll change different people who don't want to fall in line with the analytics, not just try to find those best people. That's why it's tough for me to have the faith that 2023 they can turn it around, because I think the Eagles think that they didn't do anything or they didn't have any part in them winning these only four games last year. I think they think it was Carson Wentz, and now he's gone, so everything just automatically is going to be fine.
Well, I don't know that that's the case. I don't think that just because Carson is gone, everything's going to be fine. I certainly don't think because Doug is gone, everything is going to be fine. But just go back to the people who have won Super Bowls. Just go back to that. How do they use analytics? They use it as an assistant to making the decisions, not right. the sole decision maker.
Right.
Tampa Bay, Kansas City, you look, talk about the Patriots. They all use analytics. Don't get me wrong. Everyone uses it. But at some point, the head coach, the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, has to look at a decision that's happened on the field and say, based upon my football experience, not the numbers. I know what the numbers say, and the numbers can be misleading. But based on my football experience with these guys that I have on my team versus the other guys on the other sideline, I got to make a decision. And that's where the analytics, the numbers can lead you in the right direction. And as a fan base, I would hate to see or hear a coach go to that podium after the game or Monday morning to say, well, the analytics said we should do this, and it overrode, you know, it overrided my decision-making, what I normally would have did. I would absolutely hate that, because the reason why we pay you the money that we pay you as a head coach is not just to listen to the blindly to the analytics. We pay you the big money because we want your football mind. We want your football experience. We're paying you because that's what we need. Use the analytics as a crutch, not the guy that's going to carry you to the Super Bowl. To me, that wouldn't make sense. Because here's the thing. if you're just going to solely use the analytics, and this is kind of interesting. If you're going to solely use the analytics, you can get anybody to come in as a coach, and then you can control them. Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni, then you can control him.
Yep.
I don't know that that's the way that we want to go to win. So I hope Nick Sirianni isn't that type of guy. But, you know, when we look at it on paper and based upon what we've seen here in the organization as of late, that's the way it's pointing towards.
And that's really my concern. I don't know how it's going to play out. And I've been saying, and this is another thing, Brian, the draft. We know it's less than 2 weeks. You mentioned your thoughts on it already. But here's one thing that I find interesting with football or actually any sport. So based on the school that you played at and just your pure combine numbers, I remember like last year at some point we looked them up. And your three cone drill was elite, showing that you could change directions, and that showed on the football field. But your other measurables wouldn't say that you would be the best running back in Eagles history, for example, based on the numbers. There have been running backs that have come out of college who the Eagles have drafted who had better, quote, analytics than you. Yep. Yet you were a better football player than those guys. As much as I hate to give you credit, you were better than all of those guys. And had you played longer, you would literally be in the Hall of Fame. Yet your numbers, your analytics would not have said that. So the question I have as they enter the draft is, as they go more and more analytics-based, and I'm not saying the analytics don't have their place. I'm saying how in the third round, because we're talking about the first round pick, second, they haven't done well with the third, fourth, and fifth round picks, especially with skill guys. How will they ever find another Brian Westbrook who's out there? There's going to be another third round running back who goes on to do great things. But can the Eagles find them if they don't listen to their football guys? Because I guarantee in that era, football people looked at your tape. Football people spoke to you and said, that guy can help this team. Analytics didn't say that. So how will the Eagles find the next Brian Westbrook if they're not listening to their football people, and the story suggests that the football people are not being listened to?
Well, I'll tell you this, and I'm going to reference the story in The Athletic, but I'm also tell you about a conversation I had early this week. I saw it, and it was some interview with a guy named Mark Ross. He was the head of scouting at the Eagles when I got drafted. And so he's basically telling the story about me. And he's like, yeah, you know, we saw a guy out of Villanova. You know, he was slow. He ran a 4.6. That was a lie. That was a lie at the combine. I didn't run a 4.6.
I
ran slow.
Did.
I ain't running a 4.6.
I think you ran a 4.6. We looked it up. Your three cone drill was elite, but I think your 40 was kind of slow, man.
It wasn't a 4.6. It might have been a 4.5 and some change.
I'm going to look it up.
4.6.
I'm looking it up now.
Nat, you better look up the right one now. So get it.
I'm all about the facts, B.
But here's the important part. So he said that, you know, we saw his slow 40 time. We saw that he went to a small school. But when you watch the tape, he dominated his competition. The things that he was able to do at that level can translate immediately to the NFL. And Andy Reid, the head coach, saw that he can use me in his offense. And then he went on to the story about when I went to my the workout there in Philadelphia. It was so windy. I mean, they're punting the ball, but I caught everything. Had good hands. AJ Feely was throwing me the football. Things like that. The point I bring that up is because when you read this Athletic article, it's talking about Howie Roseman being in the draft room and basically having his own draft board outside of what the scouts, the guys that have been on the road for, you know, 300 days a year, scouting these guys day in and day out, watching film. And so that's how you find guys in the third and fourth round. Your scouts, your Southeast scouts, your Midwest scouts, your West Coast scouts, those guys are driving around in their car all year long, watching tape, meeting with coaches, and watching film. Howie Roseman's going to practice. I mean, he's doing different things in the office. And how could he have the same level of knowledge as some of these guys that are doing it 24/7? So it's just hard to be able to find those guys and hit on the third, fourth, fifth rounders that are not your common everyday names, household names, because you're not doing that. And especially if you're not even allowing the scouts into the draft room and listening to what they have to say, it's going to be really hard to do that, Ty.
Go ahead.
Seeing a 4.57.
Okay. Oh, that's rounded to 4.6. That's 4.57. That's rounded to 4.6. But listen, you produced on the field. That number doesn't matter. But here's the funny thing, Brian, and I want you to answer this on the other side of the break, because it relates to the Sixers. It relates to all sports, period. So there's nothing analytical. A caller brought this up earlier as well. People get frustrated with Ben Simmons because of all the things that he can do.
They think he should be able to do even more. And but we know that sports aren't done on paper. It's just a template. Like Joel Embiid does a bunch of stuff that guys his size aren't supposed to do. There would be no computer for the fallbacks at 7 foot, over 7 foot, and his size that he does. So on the other side, you play in locker rooms. And I would also bring up last year's draft because there was apparently some issues with that between the football guys and the analytics guys with last year's draft. But you played with guys who were really, really talented on paper, and then they didn't produce on the field. So on the other side, if you could think of one during any example during this commercial break, if you want to use a name, if you don't want to use a name, that's fine. This will help highlight the point because you've lived it. Any player out there who you saw at practice what they were able to do, yet they weren't able to produce on the field. That could be Eagles, San Francisco, wherever it was in your life. I'd like to hear, is it okay if you can talk, highlight that a little bit on the other side?
Sounds good.
All right, 610-632-0975. We'll get to the phones on the other side as well. Update the Twitter poll. And then Brian, because we've been talking about projected in the future, what Brian's going to help enlighten us on will probably give us an idea of what the Eagles' future is going to be like, and I have a feeling it might be a little bit bleak. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic,
NBC Sports Philadelphia, 610-632-0975. Word of the day is future, but right now it's time to update our Twitter poll, and that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons.
All right, tie over 600 votes on this one so far. Ben Simmons was talking about the future. Do you believe him when he says this can be the year? 77% say yes, 23% say no.
So the people are still optimistic overall.
Yes.
As they face the Clippers, which could be a finals preview. Now, on the line with this, obviously, the entire hour, like he is every Friday, is Brian Westbrook. And Brian, I asked you before the break, because I'm trying to highlight and illustrate the gap sometimes between the football people and the analytics. And I asked before the break if you could give one example of a player, you can either give his name or not give his name, who should have been really good based on paper, but didn't produce. Do you have an example ready?
I do. Listen, there were a couple guys I played with. One of the guys was he was the same draft class as me. A guy named Freddie Millins out of Alabama, wide receiver.
I remember him. Yeah,
I mean, I'm talking about one of the better receivers out of Alabama. I remember going to the Senior Bowl and played with him. And the skill set just didn't translate to the NFL. He couldn't find his niche, wasn't quick enough to get off the ball, things like that. And probably the bigger one is a guy that I play with, first-round draft pick. You know, he came to the NFL with a lot of mouth and just couldn't back it up. And because of that, a lot of the guys took advantage of him at practice, right? And so because he was getting beat up at practice by some of the older guys on the defensive side of the ball, you know, our coach starts to lose faith in them and him even at practice. Then when you see him out there on the field, you know, the speed wasn't there, the production wasn't there. And at some point, when your mouth, you know, outproduces the production on the field, at that point, you got to go. And, you know, that there's a lot of stories like that across the NFL. And, you know, it's just unfortunate because when you see a guy in college and you're saying, hey, man, this guy, what he does, his speed, his route running translate directly to the NFL. And when he gets to the NFL, it doesn't. That's a big-time problem, especially when they're a first-round pick.
Right. Now, that's not to say that scouts are perfect. It's about increasing your odds. That's supposed to be the whole point of the analytics. Yeah. And what they've tried to do is eliminate, I think, in great deal, the scouts, because they think the scouts are quote-unquote guessing and the numbers are science. But the problem is, and this has been confirmed now by about 7 different reporters, nationally and locally, that the scouts last year in the first round preferred Jefferson. period. Like, if it was up to the scouts, Jefferson would have been the pick. The analytics and High Roseman specifically thought that the, quote, better fit in their system and vertical and blah, 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 even though Jefferson ended up running a faster 40 time, they decided that Rager was the analytics pick. Now, it's only 1 year, and I hope that Rager goes on to have a big career. But 1 year in, when you see the stark difference, forget just the production, just how NFL-ready it looked like Jefferson was versus how NFL-ready Rager wasn't, that has to be, for in one example, advantage scouts over analytics.
Well, I guess you could use that example, but it's here's the hard part about the Rager and Jefferson comparison is that Rager was hurt. I mean, he was hurt for the most part, no offseason. I know Jefferson didn't have an offseason either, yeah. But I mean, he went to LSU, he went to a much bigger program. I mean, a little bit different there, right? And so, you know, having that offseason, and then you also got to remember, Rager is in a situation where the quarterback had one of his worst seasons of his career. So, I mean, that's a big difference when you're comparing the two. If you had Jefferson here in Philadelphia, would he just had the same type of numbers, 1,400 yards? Absolutely not.
Right, but would he have had more than 300?
Yes, he would have. He probably.
And that's really the point. I'm not saying that Rager wasn't partially the victim of the Eagles' bad situation. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that with my eyeballs, I believe that Jefferson right now, for 1 year, it doesn't mean for a better career, for 1 year, he was a better football player in a vacuum than Rager was.
I would absolutely agree with you there. In fact, one of my friends is a scout for the Vikings, and so I'm just talking to him just, you know, after the draft, and I'm like, he said, well, why did they pick Rager? He said, in fact, I was they allowed their scouts into their draft room. He said that we were in the draft room, and of course, they were the pick right after us, and as soon as you guys called in Rager, everybody in Minnesota's draft room is jumping up
and
down.
There's video of it. There's video of them literally jumping up and down.
Going crazy because they wanted Jefferson. They figured that we were going to pick Jefferson because he was a player at that point with a higher upside. Here's the thing about the draft. Don't try to outsmart yourself. Don't try to outsmart others. Just go out there and pick the right players. And the right players generally are the guys that are productive in college, that your scouts say that their skill set can translate into your program. And remember, there were a lot of people in Philadelphia saying that Jefferson, because he only played in the slot at LSU, couldn't be an outside receiver.
You're right.
That was completely false. And I try to say things against that the entire time. Why would you think that? That's the role that he was playing in LSU. And listen, the skill set has already spoken for itself. But, yeah, the point is, listen to your scouts. Those are the guys that are on the road doing the due diligence all the time. You don't have to try to outsmart yourself to try to make yourself seem like the smarter guy. And there are times here in Philadelphia that it seems like that's exactly what's going on, and it doesn't necessarily need to be that way.
It does not. Now, we're going to go to the phones, and then you have to address something. We've been waiting for you to address it. I've been building the suspense up, so let's go to Steve in Newark. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic with Brian Westbrook. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up? I'm talking, you know, I'm looking at what Flyers did last night. They did good,
mm-hmm.
But I still think Chuck Fletcher didn't do what he needed to do.
And clearly, that's a fact. Like, when you look at the Flyers season, it's not just the coach. They're not good enough player-wise. So, absolutely, that falls on the GM.
The thing is, I was born before the Flyers were incepted. I watched them be incepted. I watched the two cups, and I loved it.
Well, I hear you. So I've been asking that question to people all day. When will the Flyers be good again? Is this a one-year blip and they're back next year, or will it be longer? When will they be good again?
I think this year might be a one-year blip because of what happened, last year because everybody had to go to the bubble. And this year they're not playing up to their bubble.
I hear you, and that could be the case. And I think they're going to be back, but I do think that they're going to need. On defense especially, I don't know if it's philosophy. They need players and philosophy. It seems like they're in their own zone entirely too much all season long. Now, Brian, the person currently running the board, producing the show, where I would normally be, Connor Thomas,
he had made a bold statement that we have been, and you know it makes me uncomfortable. I've had to defend you. So I'm going to let him in his own words. But don't try to sugarcoat it, Connor. Connor, you're going to say what you said, and then Brian is going to just be able to unfilter, within FCC rules, respond to you. So Connor, you have the floor.
So way back when I first started here at the Fanatic, about 2 years ago now, I was sitting back in the back hallway with one Pat Egan, who's another one of our producers here, and we were talking, and Brian came in. I got a chance to see Brian for the first time, and I made a backhanded comment that, not back in the day when he played, obviously, because Brian was an all-pro. He was a great player for the Eagles, incredible athlete, but
see,
currently,
did not mention about the sugarcoating. No,
currently.
No, say what you said.
No, this is what I said. Currently, though. At the current time, I think if I got him in a hole, not where he could go around me, because faster than me, for sure. If I got him in a hole, I think I could tackle him.
Brian, your response.
Let's just call the spade a spade. I mean, I'm not in the same shape that I was, 10 years ago when I was playing football. But as I look in the mirror currently, I probably will run you over, Connor. There's no doubt in my mind that I would see you in a hole and I wouldn't want to shake you. I wouldn't want to make you miss. I would say, oh, there's Connor. That's the guy that I've been looking for. That's the guy that I want to run straight through his chest. I want to put my helmet, face mask through his chest and take him backwards.
See, now
yards backwards.
I'm 190.
The goal.
I'm 190. I'm 6 foot tall on dating profiles. So I got a little bit. Got a little bit of size.
You know that's 5'9". That's you were probably the same height. You were probably the same height.
But Connor, here's the deal. 190 is cornerback weight. So, I mean, that's not a little size.
A little wiry.
He used to run linebackers over, man.
Yeah, but he's also been tackled by corners before, Sometimes you get your feet tripped up a little bit.
No, you said in the hole.
Right.
Corners didn't really get him in the hole. They have to get
him
by the
legs. Cut the tackle gap. He's running outside zone, and he jumps aside.
No. And this was the important part. It made me uncomfortable having to defend Brian. He talked about meeting you in the hole, meaning mano-a-mano, not grabbing the leg on an open field situation where Brian's looking upfield. You come from the side and chicken wing him. You talk about meeting this NFL running back who had 1,800 total yards in a year. You're going to meet him in the hole and take him down?
Well, some people have called me the Brian Urlacher of radio producers. Some people. I don't know. I don't read the tabloids, but that's what I've been told people say.
Are we having Fan Fest this year?
We are having Fan Fest. So we're going to have it. Now, just so you know, Brian, this guy's nuts. Okay? Connor's crazy. He also talked about, now, T.J. McConnell. What I was trying to say is, when we talk about T.J. McConnell not being great, that's relative to an NBA player. He would destroy anybody in any YMCA or any. He's in the NBA and has gotten multiple contracts. Connor, what did you say about T.J. McConnell?
I think I could play some pretty good defense on him. I think I could.
Do you hear this?
Got quick feet.
He's 6'3". T.J. McConnell. He's a little taller than me.
He's not 6'3".
Yes, he is.
He's listed at like 6 foot.
I'm telling you, I stood next to T.J. McConnell courtside. T.J. McConnell, I'm 6'2" every day, and he's taller than me.
Well, he had newspaper in his sneakers because it's game time.
Nah. First of all, I think he's listed at 6'2". He's not listed at 6 foot. You're not. He really believes that he can lock up an NBA player in basketball, too.
Well, this is what I know about NBA players. And in my day, listen, when you're young, you think all different types of things. Listen, Connor, you should think that way. But here's the truth. When I was playing, I thought I was a basketball player. So in the offseason, I play against some of these guys. And similar to you, I would see a guy like T.J. McConnell that wasn't a star in the league. It was just a guy in the NBA. But I would see him in summer league, right? And so now I'm like, I could definitely beat this guy. And some of those guys, if you go to some of these summer league games, the 11th, 12th guy on the bench, those are the guys that are getting 30, 40 points in summer league game because they still can put up buckets. They can go get buckets. They're not on the NBA level, but take them to summer league against guys like myself or Connor, they'll give you 20 or 30 points easily, very easily.
Man,
that's how good they are.
That does concern me a bit.
Yeah, like did you see what recently happened with that Scalabrine? A guy challenged Scalabrine on social media.
Scalabrine's got the height,
though.
He's a tall guy.
Yeah. He didn't post the guy up. Scalabrine showed up. He was shooting jump shots. He didn't miss. NBA players don't miss without with your level of defense.
Well, TJ from the mid-range. Yeah. From mid-range, but from deep.
You can't cover it. You know what? This is what I'm talking about. All right, 3-minute break. Then more of your phone calls, more conversation with Brian Westbrook. Has been very informative this entire hour, giving an idea of the difference between looking at things from just the purely analytical way, as it appears the Eagles have gone, versus the actual football guy, sportsman type of way, which I think is preferred with the teams that win. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 3-minute break here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Play back here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. The phone number 610-632-0975. And we got Brian Westbrook, and Brian always has some interesting things to talk about. Brian, so what do you got today?
Well, you know, I was thinking about it, and I'm saying, you know, if I'm Howie Roseman, he would be my argument. I know the argument against him, I kind of feel the same way about the analytics and him meddling and stuff like that. And, you know, we just want a guy, a football coach, the guy that does it himself. But if I'm Howie Roseman, you know what my comment would be? Yeah, well, when Andy Reid was here, our football guy, he didn't win a Super Bowl. He's been to a bunch of NFC championship games, one Super Bowl. He never won. When Chip Kelly was here, that football guy, guess what? We ain't make the Super Bowl. We never played and never won it. But when I was in control, under you know, with Doug and controlling Doug, pushing them the way that I wanted to, and drafting the guys that I wanted because I was in control of the draft, we found a way to win a Super Bowl. So if I'm Howie Roseman, that's my whole thing. I'm like, yeah, I hear everything that you're saying about analytics and me not being a great guy and all these other things that are said in the article. But the truth is, we won a Super Bowl under my tutelage, and the way that I did it was good enough to win a Super Bowl that year. Nobody had a problem with me that year, and I'm trying to rebuild that again. That's probably the conversation that Howie Roseman continues to have with Jeffrey Lurie, the most important person in the building.
And I believe that. But this is the thing that I think has been forgotten, even within that building. And it does not, in my opinion, bode well for the future. Word of the day. A lot of the pickups, the analytic pickups, were free agents, where you were able to project based on performance in the NFL, yep, how they would fit. I think the draft is already a very inexact science at the best of times. When you take away any football acumen from that part, because that's one thing he has done. He's drafted exactly one Pro Bowler, Howie, with these analytics since 2014, and that's Carson Wentz, and he's not even here. So there are zero Howie drafted Pro Bowlers from 2014 forward. That's coming up on seven years.
Long
with,
time.
With no Pro Bowlers. Forget Hall of Famers or borderline Hall of Famers. Just guys that can make the Pro Bowl. And that, to me, is the concern, because they don't have any cap space. And I understand we're already fast-forwarding through 1 year, maybe 2 years. I think several more years. But either way, we're going to have to watch now 17 games of possibly bad football. And then the question will be, this time next year, are we talking about how we still don't project anybody to be a Pro Bowler? Because we would think Sanders hypothetically could make it, but he actually, in my opinion, with the pass catching, for sure, took a step back last year. He had big plays. He did have explosive plays. You can't take that. He is capable of that. But what I liked about all running backs, and one of the things we came to like about you, was your consistency. It wasn't just about the big play. It was on second and seven, you're going to get us five sometimes, and then it's third and two. I understand that there's times in second and seven he might break an 80-yarder, but many of those second and seven runs would only be for 1 yard or a negative run, and then later on in the game he got the big run and his yards per carry looks great, but it wasn't consistent quarter one through four. So unless he becomes more consistent, I don't know how he jumps from big play running back to Pro Bowl true, like, every down running back. And I don't think he's quite there yet. Do you think that's unfair?
Well, I think that, you know, we're talking about Miles Sanders and going into his third year.
Right.
We're still talking about a very young man. I mean,
I'm saying up until this point. That's, I'm not saying he won't. I'm saying he hasn't.
No, he hasn't been as consistent as we need him to be. But we also needed him to come in and be the man. And it's not easy in the NFL to come in and be the man. We're talking about a kid that's 23 years old. He'll be 24 until May 1st. I mean, I wasn't until I was 24 that I was able to jump on the scene and be able to produce on the level that I was able to do for a few years in my career. So I think Miles Sanders has some better years ahead of him. He has to understand how to stay healthy. He has to your point, have to understand how to be more consistent in his production. And I think that's something that he's working on in this offseason. And I hope that he has that ability to do that. Here's the other part. He's going to have Jordan Howard back, so he's going to take some of those reps. I still think there's a I like Boston Scott probably more than a lot of other people because I saw guys like Kevin Falk, and I saw guys that's coming out of the backfield that can do a lot of different things that I see Boston Scott, same thing with Darren Sproles, has the ability to do. So I just think that he has to find that niche, and hopefully Nick Sirianni finds it with him as well. He's not going to have a bunch of options. But besides Sanders, so yeah, give him the opportunity to control things and see what he can do. I expect these next couple years for him to fall into his own as a player and produce at a high level.
No, and I hope so too. I'm rooting for him. It was just that some people, especially on social media, have decided that he's arrived.
No, and he hasn't arrived yet.
Not and
yet.
I'm saying that let's give it time and let's hope he arrives. The other guy that people projected to take a step back, that kind of took a step back, partially because of health, was Goddard. Yeah, because there were people who were saying that the previous year, he was by all the metrics a top 10 tight end to go with Ertz. Ertz gets hurt, and now Goddard gets hurt, but now Goddard's the guy. And I understand there's quarterback issues, there's other issues, but Goddard also didn't take the step last year, and it's coming up close to time for a contract extension. He also was a guy who you thought maybe could ascend the Pro Bowl level, and last year he also didn't do that.
Well, if this offense wants to be what I hope that they should be, Dallas Goddard's going to have to take a huge step. He's going to have to be a part. He has to be a 6, 7, 8 catch a game type of guy for this football team. And based on when healthy, what he's able to do is some of those mismatches because of his size. He should be able to do that. We haven't seen it consistently enough. Another guy that has struggled with consistency and staying healthy. That's something that he has to get corrected. Again, young kid, he has to figure out a way to do that.
Right, and I'm saying that because these are the best guys that Howie Roseman have drafted.
Yes.
And we're still talking about, hopefully, young guy, we'll see. What would be nice is, and obviously we're going to talk again next week. Yeah, next week you'll talk to Mike next week before the draft. There's still one more time. But I just would hope that we come away from this draft, and we won't know on draft day, but I would like to think that maybe 10 games into the year, he has one or two guys that just jump out to where we can project and say, this guy has arrived versus that guy needs to arrive. It would just be nice because it's been a while for Howie.
Well, when you talk about some of the best teams in the league, they have guys, they have young guys contributing. Look at the guy Devin White down there in Tampa Bay, that
big
linebacker.
Big time.
First round pick, you know, huge plays in the playoffs, huge plays all season long. You have to have guys that can contribute and help you win football games. And we're here in Philadelphia. We're no different. We're going to have some young guys that step in for some of these older guys that left, and they're going to have to contribute on a different level than they've contributed their entire career here in Philadelphia. And if we don't, then we're not talking about 2023 like I mentioned in the playoffs. We're talking about 2024, 2025. They have to get better this season. This is a part of their growth process, working themselves to be that player that we all expect them to be able to be.
Well, it's been a very informative hour, Brian. I appreciate you informing people from a player's perspective on just how the direction you think the Eagles can go. But regardless, they're not going to listen to us about how they do it. Let's just hope that however they get them, they finally get some young players, that a couple that can play right away, and then a couple projects that can help them down the road.
Absolutely, man. Sounds good. You're doing a great job, Ty.
Appreciate it, Brian. And that was Brian Westbrook with us the entire hour. He was brought to you by Landis Block. Get a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. 610-632-0975. 5 o'clock hour, we're going to run the phones. Word of the day is future. I want your predictions going forward. Ben Simmons says this is the year. Is it the Sixers' year? They play the Clippers tonight, a possible finals preview. Tonight at the Wells Fargo Center, the Eagles went to draft. When are they going to be good? The Phillies, the Flyers,
And, of course, we'll get back to some of the walk-up songs. Maybe we'll play ours once again in the 5 o'clock hour. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 6. And for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. He'll be back on Monday, 610-632-0975. 5 o'clock hour brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Buy any window or door and get the second at 50% off, plus interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Call Guided Door Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit GOGUIDA.com. Now, I want to thank the Philadelphia Union, man. Their season starts on Sunday. They play Columbus Crew. I'm holding it up right now for the TV, what they did. This is spectacular, what they did. Natalie, you have yours? You can hold it up.
I have mine, too.
Man, this was like, they went above and beyond. This is incredible what they did.
Yeah, season starts this weekend.
Yep, Sunday against the Crew. You know,
they're looking good. The Champions
good.
League.
They're a good team. They're a good team. They're not home for another week or so. They're starting the season on the road, but I'm definitely going to have to get to some games this year. They're allowed to have
They sent me this Body Armor berry drink.
Yeah.
It's delightful.
That stuff's good.
It's really good. I've been drinking it all show.
Yeah, no, that stuff's really good. So I want to thank
flavors.
The Yes, everybody should support them. And here's honestly where it works out. If you only have room for 4 sports, which is ridiculous, but let's say you do. All right, well, you have the Phillies. You know the Eagles stuff's going to be happening. The Sixers, what you're going to have to do is, because they didn't hold up their end, you temporarily jettison the Flyers. Because they're not going to be in the playoffs anyway. So you'll be have plenty of time to watch the Union. Because I can understand if you had a Sixers game and a playoff game and a Flyers playoff game. Oh, I don't have Union time. But you clearly would, because the Flyers aren't going to be in the playoffs. That's their own fault, by the way. Like, come on, Flyers. Make the playoffs. Like, they're not going to make the playoffs. So, but anyway, the Union are a good team, good atmosphere, so I want to thank them for that. All right, the word of the day is future, because I could have came on today with the hot takes, and I wasn't in the mood for it, I have to be honest. And I think that gets old, just going with the hot takes. Ben Simmons, he talked to GQ, and I want to give the writer, before the show's over, his credit for doing the interview, because he's a local guy who did it. I think it was Tyler Tynes who did it for GQ Magazine. Yeah, it was Tyler Tynes. I want to give him the credit for it. He does a good interview with Ben Simmons. He gets into a lot of things. But
he, first, just about Tyler real quick, he's an incredible writer.
Yes.
His work is so good, and he's a local Philly dude. He's from North Philly. Amazing coverage last year. I forget the publication he was with. I think he was
still with The Ringer.
Yes, he was with The Ringer, but he was doing a lot of the coverage of the protests and stuff last year and all of the work. Yeah, I mean, he's unbelievable. Yeah. So anything that he writes.
Yeah,
I'm great just, Twitter follow too.
Yeah,
great
just, to follow yeah. just giving him a shout out.
Yeah, Tyler, I want to make sure it wasn't just GQ. It wasn't like he didn't talk to the magazine.
No,
he spoke to a person. He talked to Tyler. Tyler Tynes did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Getting Ben Simmons to open up. And one of the things, he talked about a lot of basketball things that we can discuss. He gets double teamed, his aggression. He thinks that they're going, that this year is the year. Now, there's a couple things. He's not going to say, no, this isn't the year. Like, when asked, he can't say, nah, I think next year's our year. Like, he can't say that, first off. But it doesn't matter. He came out and he said it. And I like it. And even if it adds pressure, good. If it has pressure, good, on himself or whatever, I don't think that that's a bad thing. But it got me thinking about projection and thinking about the future. And
I think the Sixers are going to go to the finals. Some of that is, and I said it, because I don't trust that the Nets are ever going to be healthy. And I understand that if those guys are healthy, the Nets will be favored. I get it. But I think the Sixers are going to go to the finals. With the Eagles, with the draft, I think they're going to end up staying at 12 and probably taking a corner. And I don't think they're going to be good until 2025 because these guys running things, they're giving off a Jets feel to me. That's what they are. You're adding all these new people. None of them know football. There's not a lot of in-house young talent that's going to make the Pro Bowl. And you need Pro Bowl caliber players, younger players to do things. So I want you to go on the record and project. And I just want to reiterate, like I've said every hour, the worst human being in the world is a person that sees a prediction, sits on their butt and says nothing, waits for months or years, and then says, see, what about this? The only people that are never wrong are people who don't say anything. So you have to choose in life. Are you a person who's just going to sit there and be just a critic and never say anything? Or will you not be a coward, step out on a limb, and actually say something? I prefer people who say things. So that's why I like that Ben Simmons said it.
Absolutely. And speaking of saying things, did you see what Rob Monty said today?
No, I did not.
So he reported this afternoon. He said, I've been saying Howie Roseman's close relationship with Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie gives him unique job security. But I was told there's more pressure on the GM now than ever before. And I had kind of heard, I kind of heard that too. So seats getting a little warm for Howie, allegedly.
Well, if that's the case, then 2023 will be the year because they won't make it this year. Jeff Lurie will do the right thing.
He's going to have to.
And then the next guy can probably write it, get it going, because they're going to have a bunch of cap space and a bunch of draft picks. So there, if that report's true, it's 2023. If that report's not true,
responsibility for all that,
it's 2025. But plus, you got to remember, Jeff Lurie did say, maybe that was a shot at Howie when he said, when I look in this building, there's 97 GMs. Was he basically saying, hey, Howie, I can get another one of you? There's 97 other ones in the building? See, I took it of him just kind of being oblivious. Maybe that was a direct shot at Howie. Maybe he was saying, you know what, Howie, I can find another you in this building. There's 97 GMs in this building. You're just a guy. So we'll find out. Todd in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, man, what's going on, Todd?
What's up, Todd?
Not much, brother. Look, first of all, walk-on song, Van Halen, that would be Jump. That's a great song.
Jump by Van Halen.
Yes, sir.
We'll discuss that song after you're off the phone.
Okay. And I also like Aerosmith, Ty. So.
You're an Aerosmith guy as well. You heard about that yesterday. Natalie's big into Aerosmith. So you enjoyed those crying and crazy and songs like that.
Well, I like it. Some. I like some Aerosmith stuff.
Well, so. Everyone likes some. The question is, do you like crying and crazy?
Stop, Todd. All right, look, now, as far as my lineage is, my people were Hessian soldiers during the colonial war. They were paid marksmen from Germany.
Okay.
Paid by the British.
Okay.
And I always wondered why my old man and my brothers used to hide under the table, because they were paid by the British. And my question, real quick.
It was in their genes.
Huh?
It was in the genes to do that.
You're all marksmen. They were marksmen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they did hide under the tables, you know, during the colonial war, but
yeah, we were growing up, yeah.
Okay. And real quick, Nat, are you British?
Not as far as I could tell yet.
Okay.
German.
Oh, you German?
Irish, yes.
Irish German?
Yes.
Well, you may have been marksman also, Nat.
It's possible.
There's no way Nat was a marksman. There's no way.
I would say no.
There's absolutely. I could go out on a limb. There was no way you have any marksman genes in your family. Like, don't let this guy talk you into thinking you could do some stuff you can't do.
Well, so I guess he was listening to Anthony when I talked about this with Anthony.
Yeah.
How I found my lineage, and I've been in Philly since like 1740, my people. So John, he was a butcher.
Yeah, I believe
John
that.
Freiberger.
Okay. Short range weapon.
He had
hacking up meat. Yeah, I believe
he
that.
He had one cow. Well, I have the paperwork right here.
Well, that's pretty
good. Yeah, got married at the German Reform Church, which was on 4th Street. Yeah, in like 1768.
Buddy the Beefalo would not have liked him.
No, he wouldn't have.
It's not good.
No, he wouldn't have. But that's why I guess he kind of went into his...
to his lineage.
Yeah. So I'm from here. That's about it. That's all I got.
That's nice.
My great-great-grandfather served in the Civil War. He's buried in Fishtown with everybody else.
Yeah, your family's all from Philly. It's pretty cool.
Explains a lot.
Yeah,
it does. I thought that there would be like a Virginia or some sort of something somewhere else. No, it's just straight Philadelphia.
It's all here. Now, he brought up a Van Halen jump.
Yes.
See? I have a real question that I need somebody to answer. 610-632-0975. Everyone else has to call about sports or some topic. I just want to know from somebody, like a person who might know music, why people liked Van Halen.
I feel like you're going to upset some people.
Not just the one song, the band.
I know why people liked Eddie. He was a great guitar player.
Okay. Right, right.
Great. Deserved better than what he got.
I mean, people with really, band. Everybody liked David Lee Roth, Sammy Hagar.
See, I can even understand if I worked, understand a Diamond Dave. Sammy Hagar? Why? Like this is something that has bothered me. And again, I want to separate Eddie Van Halen from all of this because it's not him. He was a great guitar player. You can make an argument that he was the greatest to ever live. He's that good. So take him to the side. Let's take everyone else. Let's take everything else about it. The songs, the everything about it. I need help with the Van Halen.
It's hot for teacher. Uh-huh. It was that time.
No. That's not an answer. That's not an answer. That'd be like asking why your family hasn't left Philly since the 1700s. Not one time. No vacations, nothing. That's the time? No. It's something there's a reason why you guys are afraid to leave Philly. Nobody went to Jersey. No one went to the suburbs.
Nobody went to Delco. Nobody went anywhere.
They all stayed in Philly from 1700s all the way through within like a 9-mile radius. There's a reason why for that. It's not just the time. And I'm telling you that this Van Halen thing, when it comes up, my response is always, I don't get it. And I've heard it all. And I get the guitar, but the song's not just guitar. There's other stuff in it, and none of it's good.
Hey, Linda, get out of my Van Halen t-shirt before you jinx the band and they break up. What movie?
Wayne's World.
Yeah,
No, close. No, but that's my other favorite. It's Wedding Singer.
Oh, my bad.
You know, and we're going to go to one more call, and then we're going to talk about something we haven't talked about in 2 days with Connor that we talked about is... his crazy brain and a lot of other stuff, but there's one other thing that needs to be discussed after we talk to Mike and Cherry Hill on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, I'm a gambling man. I'm not afraid to say that, and I'm probably going to take Brian Westbrook against the guy that's saying that he's going to hit him in the hole. So that's just
of
me.
Of course, and I want to. Of course, you should.
Right. That's just me. I'm just wanting to make a statement about the draft. Okay, it's important that they. Get some weapons. I mean, you know, Westbrook can speak to this. Well, the more weapons, the more flexible the options are for the play caller. So let's not get another offensive lineman or none of that, man.
You do have to block for they didn't do a great job doing that last year. Their defense needs like eight new starters too. So if you go corner, that's a whopping hole. They only have one corner. You need at least three. They only have one. You need at least three. They only have one.
You can get a corner late in the draft. Listen, okay, this is all this homework right now. That's why you're doing your homework
every year.
But to me, you got a new quarterback that's able to move
effectively and throw on the run. The last guy cannot throw on the run.
We don't know. Well, hold on. You don't know if he can throw on the run yet. We hope he can throw on the run on the NFL level. We don't know if he can because it's only four games.
Well, that's why it stands for not for long. So if you can't do it, then we're going to keep on going through this carousel of quarterbacks until we can find someone that can avoid a rush. I think it's a luxury to sit behind five good all-pro offensive linemen. You're not going to have that luxury anymore. You can get some guys that are fleet of foot that can make something happen, a la the guy in Seattle or someone like that, okay, or Randall or somebody like that that can get out of the pocket and move around.
Like Randall? What did Randall ever win?
Again, like I said, I'm not speaking on winning. I'm speaking on being able to move and get away from.
But we want to speak on Mike is winning. That's what we want to speak on. We want to win. We want to win. That's what we want to do. I don't care how Hurts does it. I just want him to win. If he wins from the pocket, if he wins running around, all I care about is winning. That's it. I don't care how he does it. And this team, they need a real corner. Jenna Mills isn't here for a reason. If Jenna Mills was so good, he'd still be here. They have one corner that they can trust. They have one defensive end. Well, you don't know about Josh Sweat all the way. Interior, they need defensive end. They need defensive tackle. They need linebackers. They need safeties. They need corners. They need more offensive linemen. Because they're going to try to give the spot to Dillard. Do you know if Dillard can play? Because I don't know if Dillard can play yet.
I know he can't fight in practice.
I know he can't fight in practice, which I don't really care about as long as you can play. But it's also not a great feeling if you get knocked out. I don't know. How many players get knocked out on a square one-on-one and then go on to the Hall of Fame? I don't know. I'm sure guys lose fights, but he was getting dropped, allegedly. I didn't see it, but I heard things. Allegedly. So allegedly. I don't know if it's true, but I mean, I heard it. I heard he was getting dropped.
Yeah.
But none of that will matter if he can play on the field. They need a lot of things. There's not many positions that the Eagles could draft where I go, oh, well, they that wasn't a need. They did that last year when they drafted a quarterback when they had a thousand other needs. This year, even if they drafted a quarterback, if they think that quarterback's better than their quarterback, they're not good enough basically anywhere. Good and young enough, too, because even if you went defensive tackle, Fletcher Cox is not getting any younger. You're going to need somebody to play next to him and to replace him at some point. The Eagles are not good enough they're just not good enough to where they have any position that they can be ruled.
Right, and that whole not for long thing he was talking about, sure, that's all well and good for the players. They're not good, you get them out of here. We're going to be here. It's long for us. Like, you're looking 2025, that's 68 games with a 17-game schedule. Like, you can't keep rotating guys in that can't play. They have to find answers ASAP.
They do. All right. This is throwing me off. Because the boss is a big Van Halen fan and said, in fact, they're the greatest party rock band of all time.
I mean, they're fun. I don't mind a Van Halen.
Yeah, Bowling for Soup probably had fun, too. It doesn't make the song good.
Well, I mean, I'm not a Van Halen's man, like Chuck is.
It starts off Hot for Teacher. It starts off, like, on fire, the way it goes, right? And then, like, want it bad, I'm hot for like, it's just, that's a, okay. Dave and Avalon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good afternoon, Tyrone.
How you doing?
Listen to me. It's probably the one thing we're going to agree on. That Van Halen's old jump really is terrible. But I want to get back. I'm sorry, I missed Jackie Robinson Day yesterday.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You know, you want to put, you know, an expletive, you know, next to everything that happened before he was, you know, in the major leagues. Look,
yep, I would eliminate all the records before the color line was broken, would have an asterisk next to it because you weren't playing against the best players because all the best players couldn't play.
But let me tell you something. Now, Babe Ruth would have smoked every Bob Gibson fastball, and Walter Johnson would have struck out Josh Gibson, the most prolific black home run hitter of all time.
Why? Because you said so? Well, you act like you saw him play.
Because modern day analytics. You look at these old films, you look at the bat speed of Babe Ruth, and you look at these exit velocity of the things he hit. You know, it's incredible. You know, and you cannot deny the science. Agreed?
Yes, I could. You didn't say anything with science. They didn't. You're going to tell me that you know that Babe Ruth would have hit the same amount of home runs if he had to go against black and Latino pitchers? How do you know?
Besides Jim Thorpe, he's the best athlete in the United States.
Babe Ruth's speed with that thing.
I know you always criticize me for being old school.
Well, I'm more criticizing you this particular time for being dumb because you don't know. Like, I don't mean, like, you're going to tell me. You notice how convenient it was, and I wasn't supposed to notice, that he said that Babe Ruth would take out Bob. Now, he could have picked any pitcher because it was him making up the narrative. He picks Babe Ruth, fine. So he picks the best black pitcher to ever live, and he says that Babe Ruth would have just smoked him. So he's saying out loud, you know what he's saying. And yeah. Then he follows it with, he takes the best home run hitter from the Negro Leagues. He doesn't take from the Negro Leagues, who we haven't seen play and didn't get a chance to play in the major leagues. Passed away before he ever got a chance to play in the major leagues. And he would have been getting struck out by Walter Johnson. And I'm supposed to, you know what? I'm not going to let this guy.
That's the guy who just said Babe Ruth was the best athlete. Like, have you seen that guy? He's built like a circle.
Well, and apparently, remember he ate like 12 hot dogs a day
or
something?
Yeah, he was on hot dogs, beer, and cigarettes. Like, no, that's not the best app. Get out of here.
Get out of here. All right. So we got to reset. We're wide open right now. 610-632-0975. It's good. It's like a palate cleanser. Let's clean it up. Let's clean it up. Let's tighten it back up. Get it back together. On the other side, take more of your phone calls. 610-632-0975. Word of the day remains future. We're going to look into the future, not make up the past. And now it's official. What? Just so we know, do not call back Mr. Avalon until Gonzaga wins a national championship. All right? Just stay gone. We will not miss you. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah.
There you go.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. And now it's time. Boy, one day I'm going to try to see if I can make the rock DJ voice. I used to be able to do it.
Can you do a little bit of it right now?
A sample.
It'd be like it's always if I can get the high right. Like I go like hi, like I got to get the hi, and then it goes because you got to get like that like you got to
get
there.
Like the
it takes a while for my voice though. I have to warm up to get to be the screecher.
Van Halen on the Fanatic.
Like it takes me a while to get there.
Van Halen.
Yeah.
Van Halen on the Fanatic.
So that's the thing.
I'm not even gonna try it.
I'll get there.
I don't know what I just did to my vocal cords.
That's why I gotta be prepared to do that. All right, it's time for our final Twitter poll numbers. Brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment? Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe contactless pickup. In Doylestown, what are the final numbers?
All right, tie over 600 votes on this one. Ben Simmons was talking about the future. Do you believe him when he says this can be the year? 77% say yes, 23% say no.
Okay. And Ben Simmons should have said that, by the way. He can't say, nah, this isn't the year. We're going to run it back next year and see what happens. Like, obviously he has to say that.
He said quite a few things in that interview. Some things I agree with, some things I didn't agree with. Here's one thing to watch. Tobias Harris may not play tonight, which obviously is not optimal, which means Joel Embiid is going to be double teamed quite a bit. One thing real fast before I get to the phones that I did not, I was just talking to Devon Givens. He's on next. There was one particular play late in the game where Joel Embiid was double teamed without the ball. Ben's man just vacated him completely. And Embiid was bracketed to the front and the back. And basically at that point, Simmons' job is to go anywhere else with the ball or go get yours. And instead, what he chose to do was throw it to Joel Embiid. It led to a live ball turnover that led to a run out for a dunk on the other end. A turnover is better there. Him shooting, obviously, is way better. Attacking the rim, passing it to any player who's now single covered because they can't double cover anybody else because Joel Embiid's already double covered and he's not covered at all. The Clippers are a good defensive team. Kawhi Leonard is an elite defender. If the best perimeter defender is not Ben Simmons, it very well could be Kawhi Leonard. Yes. He will laugh at Ben Simmons if he tries to pull something like he did in that game. One thing to watch for in the big possible finals preview game tonight. What happens if and when they vacate him completely to focus on Joel Embiid? And it'll be that much tougher if Tobias isn't playing. The onus then becomes on Ben to be aggressive. That's something to watch for tonight. If for the immediate future, talking about like 7 o'clock, this won't decide whether or not they can get to the finals or anything, but it is something to watch after, because I know they had to look at that film, and that plays everywhere. He's aware of it. Let's see if he does the same thing again. Dot on the cell, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, what's going on, Ty? How you feeling?
What's going on, man?
I'm chilling, man. Listen, man, I want to talk a little about the Sixers and the Eagles, but before I go on that, I just want to say I'll be watching a little John at nighttime for the Eagles, but it's a Sixers game. The Outsiders, man. You straight savage. You and Crystal Savage on there. I love it, man. I just want to tell you, y'all doing a great job with that, man.
Thank you, man.
Bro,
thank
y'all keep
you.
It real on that show, and y'all grind the players up, either they right or wrong. Y'all say what y'all see. And that's a good thing. I like to see that, especially for our team, because a lot of times people don't want to give it to the players when they're in the wrong. When they ain't shooting or had a bad night or something, y'all give it to them.
Just trying to be honest. We've obviously been more positive than negative this year because they've been good. But if they don't play well, the job is to reflect what the fans are talking about, and the fans are never happy when they lose. What do you have on the Sixers tonight? Going forward, what do you have?
I think we played Milwaukee good in the playoffs. I think that'd be a better draw. But I want to see us go against the Nets, if that's making any sense. Like, I want to see Embiid. I think he can get 40 and 15.
Yep.
Six games against him. I think he did that easy.
I think he can as well. Six games is a lot to ask because, you know, you might just have an off night, but I think he could average it. I think he can get 40. I think he can average. He'll get 44. Then one game he ends up with like 20. Then another 44. Then a 46. Yeah, he will score a lot on the Nets.
Yeah, but I think their defense are so trash that I think that, like, he can get 40 every night. Easy. Because there's like DeAndre Jordan in the class, that was almost on that back. I knew he would do that, but I didn't think he would really like bully DeAndre Jordan because he was a good defensive player at one time when he was younger. So I didn't think he was really going to bully. Like, he really bullied everybody in the league. So as far as I'm concerned, if we got Embiid,
uh-huh,
and I'm hoping we can get better shooting, I think we'd be great in the playoffs. I'd rather draw Milwaukee. But
I got you. What you don't want to do is draw them both. This just in, I was just talking about it, so scratch what I said about Ben Simmons with Kawhi. Kawhi is also out. So it looks like Tobias is doubtful. He may be out. And Kawhi is now out. So what tonight's game will not – so whether they win or lose, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to judge how they would look in the playoff series because obviously Kawhi – I'm saying if Tobias isn't healthy – the Sixers can't win. And I'm saying long term. If Kawhi's not healthy, the Clippers can't win long term either. They've been playing really good basketball. But this game, unfortunately, it's still interesting because the Ben Simmons versus Paul George factor now comes in. Different angle. But it looks like Kawhi definitely out. Tobias likely out tonight for the Sixers and Clippers game. Gary in Westchester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Ty, listen, sorry, I'm call earlier when you started off with the data analytics hitting into the NFL.
Yes, which I don't think, by the way, is a bad thing. It's only when you jettison football people for the sake of analytics that I have a problem. Right. Additional data, good. Getting rid of certain data, the football part of it, bad.
Yeah, I don't think I agree with that. And let me tell you, I actually went to Stanford. I have a degree in data analysis. Okay. Getting a master's in data science at Cal Berkeley right now.
That's pretty impressive.
And I'll tell you an article from a guy that I worked with out there. His name is Darren White. He's kind of the head guy on this in the NFL.
Okay.
And the way he sees it, and this is from Stanford, actually wrote an article on June 20th about it. It's the future of the NFL, not just in the way Doug, in fact, the Eagles are quoted in the article about being the lead in this move to data science and data analytics in football. I mean, they're prominently quoted in this article. But the thing about the game time decisions that are being made is it's moving into scouting. They got an RFID chip the Eagles have placed on their players. They did you notice that they actually...
They started doing that when Chip Kelly was
here. Yeah, and they analyzed their movements, their acceleration or deceleration. So what they'll do is they'll come up to a play, what they need, and they'll tell them what kind of player they need in the game.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that.
Well, no, I know it might be a problem, but I'm saying...
No, here's the problem with that, Gary. No, I understand what you're talking about, right? Why hasn't it led to them, since they're the leaders... Why haven't they drafted a Pro Bowl player since 2014, Pro Bowl player is currently playing for the Colts?
Okay, and as a data scientist, I'll explain it to you, but in order to make the best decision possible, you need maximum data. And so right now, they're in a data, extraction and analysis.
Right, I hear you. Gary, we have a limited amount of time. So do I not have to watch the football games until they get enough data? Or do I have to watch these games?
No. I'm thinking that it's going to take at least five to more plus.
Man, I ain't waiting 5 years. I'm not waiting 5 years. That's what I'm saying. Keep getting your data, but let your football people pick players. And then... after the fact, some football guys' players will work. Some football guys' players won't work. Then if you want to use data as to why the players worked and why the players didn't work, they don't have a track record of picking good enough players for them to have good data. They only have bad data.
Yeah.
They don't draft Pro Bowlers.
Are there other teams that are practicing more or playing more games, too? Where are they getting the data from that they're drafting? If the Eagles don't have enough data... why are these other teams getting Pro Bowl players?
Tampa looked like they had a lot of data. They had rookies starting on the Super Bowl. They had a defensive linebacker. They're off their starting left tackle. They were rookies.
If the Eagles are the foremost, how do they have less data, apparently?
Right. So it's going to take another 5 years? And I got to watch football for five more years? No. Let football... I'm saying the data is fine. Having more data is good. What the Eagles aren't doing, though, they're not adding data. They're adding analytics and subtracting football scouting, in which a lot of resources go into watching players, talking to players, watching situational football. And there's a science, quote unquote, to that, to knowing when a dog is going to be able to get you that extra yard versus the guy that looks pretty in shorts on a track. That's a science to know the difference between that guy who can put his foot in the ground. How did they find a Brian Westbrook, a guy from Villanova, who had hurt his knee, comes into the NFL, people say too small, third down back. He ends up being one of the best backs in the league for three straight years. Data doesn't, there's no analytics for that. That is the part that the analytics need to figure out, and they haven't figured that out. I can tell you who looks good on a damn track. I don't need analytics for that. 5 years? Come on, man. I can tell you who's fast on a 40. Like, I can do that without a computer. Hey, who ran the fastest 40? Okay, who bench pressed the most?
We'll call you in 5 years. We'll let you know.
I mean, are you kidding me?
That crunched the numbers. That's hard math right there.
I'm upset. I don't know why they're upset. Like,
four seconds longer than 5 seconds. That crunched the numbers.
It's kind of a terrible way to end the show.
It's not. We're not going to end it. Tom, Philly, save us before we go to sound off.
How you doing, Ty?
What's up, Tom?
I just want to tell you, that guy who called in about Josh Gibson and Walter Johnson was the dumbest, worst caller you've had in weeks.
He's I think he's the worst caller we've had.
He's the worst caller. I grew up in New York City. I was born during World War II. So I know the whole Jackie Robinson story from right in front of me. I was not a fan of Jackie Robinson. I did respect him. I was not a fan of his because I was a New York Giants baseball fan. And the New York Giants outfield in 1951 was all black. Willie Mays, Monty Irvin, and Hank Thompson. Two of them are in the Hall of Fame. Willie Mays is the greatest baseball player that ever played the game.
He is.
So what that guy was talking about, Josh Gibson, he has no clue. And Babe Ruth used to hit 300-foot home runs into a little porch in Yankee Stadium.
I'm saying, let's say they were all 500 feet. He wasn't going against the best pitchers and available, and he wasn't having to go on the other team. The best hitters available weren't available. That's really my point, Tom. I'm sorry we're short on time because we have to go to break. It's just, I mean, that's not even, but that's the point. And that's why I had that point, though. I mentioned Jackie Robinson Day yesterday. I talked about how if it was up to me, pre-color line, breaking the color barrier, I have to look at all records in baseball suspiciously, because you can't tell me that there weren't black and Latin or Asian players available who could have played, that could have changed how the games go. If that's one less at-bat per game, or there's a whole lot of things that could change those records. That's all I was saying. Does that mean that Babe Ruth, you take him out of the Hall of Fame? No, I'm saying I don't know if he hits the same amount of home runs if he has to go against better pitchers night to night, or if there's great other Latin or black pitchers on every other team. Does he hit as many home runs? I'd like to find out. But that's, and did other players be blocked from an opportunity to possibly hit that many home runs back then? Yes. That was all that was, and somehow that turned into, I know for a fact based on my science from Avalon. All right. my Avalon science. That means that he would strike out any black guy. I have the data. Like, come on. Like, this is what I deal with.
It's a little rocker. You're almost there.
I got the data.
Van Halen.
There's
Van Halen.
I'm surprised he didn't say something like Gravy Face or something.
Oh, my goodness.
No Gravy Face could strike out Babe Ruth.
All right. Sound off on the other side. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
75 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me? What is it? Hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Keep going. Sound off.
Yes, time for sound off. 611-671-9705. Let's see what we have today.
Sixers lose to the Nets in the conference finals, and Morey trades Ben and Maxey for Beal. The Phillies finish third in the division. JT's our only all-star. The Eagles pick Rashawn Slater, and the Flyboys win the Stanley Cup. However, they do it without Voracek. My walk-up song, LaGrange by ZZ Top.
All right. I don't believe the Simmons and Maxey for Beal thing, but the rest of it, why not?
Flyers winning the Stanley Cup?
Next year.
I don't know about all that.
Hockey's very
unpredictable. That's a big jump. That's true.
Very unpredictable.
That's a big jump.
It is.
This is Buddy the Beefalo. I'm really angry. I was making headway with those fine ladies in the pasture there, and then they come and take me. It's not right. I broke out of my crate. I deserve freedom, and I deserve time with the ladies. Buddy the Beefalo out.
You know, Beefalo. What exactly? Well,
that's probably what he was doing with the cows, right?
I mean,
spent some game.
All that time, over 250 days, he was
in there looking for.
He's on the lamb.
He sees
like the equivalent of a brothel.
Yes.
And then that's where he gets caught. Many a man over the years.
I like a nice, tight, muscular ass.
That's right.
Yep.
The cows were in there mowing in his direction.
I don't think they were donkeys, but you know what I mean.
Imagine, yeah, I'm saying, imagine the...
No, the ass.
Yeah.
They were cows.
I gotcha.
I don't think Mike ever said, never, whoa, I am saying some things. Next.
Wait.
I'm still curious of what the Nets are doing. Are they stating that they would prefer to play Milwaukee, knowing that Giannis and the Bucks don't show up in the playoffs to avoid the hot Atlanta Hawks? Who? And should we be concerned about the Hawks? I mean, they are playing lights out since Nate McMillan has taken over. And they can score. It's one thing they can do. They can shoot the ball.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about the Hawks in a playoff situation. Their regular season doing well. They don't play enough defense to win in the playoffs, period. I'm telling you, if the Sixers play them in the second round, that's despite what happens in the two regular season games come up. The Sixers can lose both. They win that series in five.
Hi, yes. Tomorrow, Sam Moran and Tom Wilson from the Capitals are going to go at it. They sat Sam Moran the other day, and they're saving him for the big fight tomorrow, so watch. Be worthy.
Yeah, I think hockey fighting is stupid anymore. I think that it needs to be taken out of the game completely, to be honest with you. Personally, we know too much about the CTE thing. I understand fans like it, a certain segment of fans. Some of these quote-unquote goons, these guys can't think. They can't walk anymore. So I think that allowing bare-knuckle fighting is stupid.
I want to talk about Dr. J's comment about the Nets or buying a championship. He is 100% right. I was listening to Stephen A. and Max talk about Doc's not
cut
right
that
on
off.
This. But Max,
I don't care about Stephen A. and Max, especially Max. Max shouldn't be allowed to talk about sports because he doesn't know anything about sports. Close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are they?
Because I don't like them.
They bring it. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your Sound Off gets on.
Good riddance. See you later.
Yes, indeed. That was Sound Off. If you want to get in over the weekend, 610-771-9705. I want to thank everybody that listened, everybody that watched, everybody that called. Thanks to Booney. Thanks to Connor. Thanks to Natalie. Thanks to Dylan, who answered the phones. On the radio side, up next, you have Draft Lines with Devon and Jamie. They're going to lead you right up into the Sixers versus Clippers game. On NBC Sports Philadelphia, you have the warm-up, then Sixers pregame show, then the game, then the post game, and then Sixers Outsider. Also, tomorrow morning from 9 to noon, I will be on 90 till 12:15. I'll be on 97.5 The Fanatic as well for the Tyrone Johnson Show. I will talk to everybody tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.